The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, Huntsville, and the world. This is the July 2nd edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
I'm Jimmy Carper. I am the longest-running co-executive director.
And I'm Wes Laverne. I'm the sweatiest one tonight.
I don't know about that.
Jimmy, when I was over there running that wire for your speakers today, the front of my shirt was soaked in sweat.
Yeah.
So I'm the sweatiest one tonight.
Am I supposed to cry now?
No. If I waited for you to cry on anything, I'd be dead first.
Oh.
Don't try and cheer me up.
Ooh, it's going to be one of those nights.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anybody have any big plans for the 4th?
Thinking about coming down to Tony's tomorrow.
For the bear thing?
Yeah, for the monthly beer.
Oh, yeah.
Tony's Corner Pocket.
G-Cam will be there.
Yeah, you better be there. You RSVP'd, and so did you.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Facebook.
You did. I saw you. Do I need to pull it up and show you?
I don't recall. Oh, whatever. Okay. I didn't know that we actually RSVP'd for that.
You did.
Well, you said you were attending.
No.
They sent you an invite. You click the attending button.
Well, because we always attend.
Yeah. I just saw it on there.
Oh.
Well, I was sending pictures of Batman tattoos.
Okay.
Batman dead.
On Tola Road, they had a picture of someone who had a tattoo that combined Batman and the painting Starry Night.
Okay.
And it covered this guy's bicep and over onto his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a certain person on the After Hours crew that I thought would enjoy that.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it to him on there, and then I was clicking through some of the other stuff. Because, like, right now there's, like, 9 event invitations that are for After Hours I haven't gone through.
Oh.
I have, like, 5 or 6 that I haven't gone through. But they're, like, later in July and August, and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing then yet. I'm not answering those yet.
I see. You're such a gay man. Wait till the last minute and pick the best one.
Well, there's so many of them that all happen at the same time. I have to look at them and see what's going on and figure out, okay, do I need to be at this one or do I need to go to this one?
See?
I can't be everywhere at once.
Mm.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
And during the season, it's almost like you have to be everywhere at once. There's so much going on in the community. Barely cover it. We barely cover a tenth of it, I think, in what we do. Well, but then again, we focus on fundraisers here, and the bars who put them on. So speaking of that,
how am I supposed to start?
Well, unless you want to tell me what you're doing for the 4th.
Let's see, I got a bitch session meeting tomorrow, and then the rest of the time I'm with family.
Bitch session?
Yeah. I'll tell you about it all fair.
Oh.
So, loads of fun.
Okay. Okay, and then family stuff.
Yeah.
I think I'm just kind of veg out.
See, we normally would be shooting off fireworks, because I live outside Houston city limits, so we could, but you know, it's with them canceling it all, and supposedly my one nephew has broken something or other. I'm not sure on the details yet. Doing backflips off his bed. He supposedly broke his collarbone.
Oh
my goodness.
So not sure which arm or all that stuff, so
did anybody not forget to tell him that it's not a gymnasium in his bedroom?
Really?
Well, knowing him, he's lucky that all he was doing was just jumping off the bed. So.
Well, let me start out with a couple of things here. J.D. Doyle.
I got to go check that email he sent me.
He sent out a couple of things because he's got his Out Radio
posted already for July. Lots of new music this month of many genres. And part three is my salute to the Out in the Woods Music Festival at East Mountain near Albany, New York. That's happening August 13th and 14th. I'm psyched because I'll be there. Oh, my God. He's going there. Wow. He's going to Albany.
Fun.
Wow. It is a big deal. Yeah. But, you know, it's across the country. Anyway.
Just over yonder.
So he's got, on his Out Radio for July, he's got 3 hours of music by, oh, my God, a whole bunch of folks. A whole bunch of folks. Katie Lang, even, he put in there. Disappear Fear, Eric Hyman, Hug Party, Sugar Beach. Wow. Matt Doyle, Kevin Wood, even Melissa. Doing Born to Run. Wow. Terry Christopher, and just a slew of other folks. So check that out at dubcubed.outradio.com. And he also has posted his QMH, Queer Music Heritage, for the month of July. And that is also a three-parter. That means 3 hours. In the U.S., we may not have heard of the band Wicked Lady, but in the late 70s in Europe, they were one of the first out-of-the-closet all-lesbian rock bands. The band's founder, Sue Exley, shares with us their story and music in an exclusive interview. And in parts 2 and 3 this month, you'll find lots of gems from our music history, including Dusty Springfield and Leslie Gore singing in foreign languages. This is another installment of what I like to call my Songs I've Been Meaning to Play shows. So, part one is almost exclusively Wicked Lady. Then he gets we got 3 by Dusty, 3 by Leslie, a Johnny Mathis, Andy, Rip Taylor, Rod McEwen, Steve Swindles, Sunset Bombers, Cindy Bowens, all kinds of good stuff going on. And, of course, now the QMZ. QMH. Yeah, that's right. QMH, Queer Music Heritage.
Yeah, we have the QMZ.
QMZ is so last millennium for us.
Yeah, well. is at dubcubed.queermusicheritage.com. Or it will be, the first hour will be on Queer Voices on the fourth Monday. Second part.
25th.
Yeah. They're on from 9 to 11 every Monday night. Now,
at least that's what our truck said.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
By the way, pictures of some of the pictures from the Pride Parade, you can go to our Facebook page and some of them are up there on there now.
Yes.
Yeah, I kept getting messages about that last night while I was setting up my new phone. I was like, well, gee.
I got to say this. One thing scary about Facebook now with those pictures, I uploaded them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it goes, these two pictures have Trent in them. And I'm like, huh? I looked down. This one's got Wesley and this one's got Jimmy. I'm like.
It tells you already?
It does facial recognition.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sitting there going, what the?
Wow.
It was a little scary.
It's been a while since I've uploaded pictures on there, so I didn't know that.
Wow. Theater New West is still bringing their play, The Temperamentals. The story is The Temperamentals was code for homosexuals in the early 1950s, part of a created language of secret words that gay men use to communicate. The play tells the story of two men. The communist Harry Hay and Viennese refugee and designer Rudy Gernreich as they fall in love while building the first gay rights organization in the pre-Stonewall United States. Actually, it says United Stages, but hey, United States. And that's going on. Through July 16th. And where is it? The recital room at Dowling Music, 2615 Southwest Freeway, second floor at Kirby Drive. For more information on Dowling Music and or to view the beautiful recital room, go to dowlingmusic.com. For tickets, check with Joe Watts at 713-522-2204.
Stage Door Inc. is presenting their star-studded spectacular 4th of July special next Saturday night. It is a fundraiser for them. Tickets are $30. There is live and silent auctions. Going on, and some of the things include big ice cream party kits, tickets to Kima, and I think the grand item they've got on that is a two tickets on Southwest Airlines.
No kidding.
For more information, go to stagedoorinc.com. I love their poster on it. They've got a little warning about saying there's coarse language in drag queens.
Oh, good.
Because it is Willa Dean and Dorita Sanchez.
Oh, my goodness.
So an interesting thing. The following weekend, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, Stage Door is having their production of Willy Wonka Jr.
Mm-hmm.
With the children's cast.
Yes.
Performing that. And following that, starting on the 22nd, they are putting on Rent.
Wow.
And so, like I said, for more information on tickets and availability and all that, go to stagedoorinc.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary I'm doing that by memory.
I know.
God, I need a life. The Houston GLBT Community Center events. That's happened. They're closed on the 5th. On Tuesday, Unhinged Productions holds rehearsal at 7 p.m. Wednesday the 6th, the Center Coming Out group will not be meeting.
Oh.
Because they're taking a summer hyenas.
Oh, okay.
Hyenas? Okay.
Thursday, July 7th, something's actually happening. The Center Energy Exercise Group meets at 1 p.m.
Oh, that's a good group.
The Center HIV Support Group meets at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Unhinged Productions holds a rehearsal at 7 p.m. On Friday, July 8th, Kermit Summer School at the Center meets.
Kermit Eisenhut.
Oh, I was thinking of
frogs. No. No, the photographer.
We're not talking about fisting frogs?
No.
I was thinking the same thing, so don't worry.
It's not easy being green. Pre-register with Kermit Eisenhut at kermitart.com. That'll be going on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, July 9th, Jose Figueroa teaches the Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain art class at the Center.
Hmm.
You don't need to take that class, Jimmy.
I know.
Pre-register at Jose Figueroa, it's Figueroa, at sbcglobal.net. That happens at 10:30. The Community Leaders Networking Group meets from 1 to 4 on Saturday. Centro Grupo Latino, a Spanish language HIV support group, is at 4 p.m. On Sunday. The 10th, the Aaron Shearhorn Foundation for Change meets at 3 p.m. And Team Houston meets at 4 p.m.
Oh, what a great group.
For more information on all of those events that are occurring at the Houston GLBT Community Center and for the Houston GLBT Community Center, go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. They are now up in the Heights at Mecca.
It's on the second
Old
page.
Old Kane School.
Or third page, or what? It's on the last page.
Somewhere. The historic Dow School, 1900 Kane, used Silver Street to enter. Tell Tim we sent you.
Yeah.
Tony's Corner Pocket, the Reese's, and the PWA Holiday Charities present the 5th annual 4th of July Party and Show on Monday, July 4th. The festivities start at 4 p.m. This will be hosted by Mr. and Miss Tony's Corner Pocket 2010-2011, Ricky DeGill and Regina Dane. This is benefited. There will be a food drive for Montrose Counseling Centers.
Food drive.
Take two.
It says food drive for MCC. It should be RMCC.
Yeah.
Because that's what screwed me off is MCC is Montrose Counseling Center.
Yeah.
Resurrection MCC's food pantry, unless MCC's got a food pantry.
I don't think so.
Over here. Also, this will be benefiting the Reese's Rain Charities, the Lesbian Health Initiative, Montrose Counseling Center. There it is over there. And the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe It and Dream Scholarship Fund. Also with the Reese's, the Peasants present The Nightmare Before the Monarch's Christmas over the Brazos River Bottom starting at 10 p.m. on Friday, July 8th. MC'd by Jack Niederhoff and Craig W. Ray. This will be benefiting the Rhesus Charities. And I'll say it again in a moment after I do this next page, which is the Peasants versus Monarchs Weekend Dream On, Peasants Monarch Revenge.
Mm.
Oh, wait.
What?
Shouldn't that be Presents?
I don't know. What does it say?
It says Peasants.
Oh.
Dream On, Peasants Monarch Revenge. On Saturday, July 9th at 8 p.m., over at EJ's, 2517 Ralph.
Oh, different venue.
Different venue. Remember, all events for Rhesus benefit the Montrose Counseling Center Lesbian Health Initiative, with 10% going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund. And they take plastic.
Yeah, they do.
The Brazos River Bottom proudly presents on Sunday.
Sunday.
July 10th at 7 p.m., a Christmas in July burlesque.
Oh, yeah.
MC'd by Don Gill and Marie Gill, Marsha Mink and Gill, and a bunch of other Gills, with special guest MC Fiona Dawson, not a Gill. This is a PWA holiday charity event benefiting the AIDS Trouble Fund clients. For more information, go to brbhouston.com. They've got a guy wearing, with a six-pack, wearing a Santa suit, holding two sparklers.
Well.
Okay. I'm done.
Uh-huh.
All right. Ricky D. Gill and Mr. Gay Pride Houston 2011 present Hot Cowboy Disco Night Show on Friday, July 15th, 2011 at 10:30 p.m. over at the VRB. So come and cowboy up and boogie down. Show is open to all performers and benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. Also on the 15th, over at EJ's Bar at 8:30 p.m., is Paint by the Numbers Show, done by Aresis. Ever wanted to do... I can't read what half this says. It's all blurry.
I think the concept is someone they pick someone to paint up the drag queen or the drag king, or the performer.
Yes.
And someone else paints them up, and you don't see how you're decorated until you get on stage and you look at yourself in the TV monitor at EJ's.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
If I remember correctly.
Something like that.
Ooh.
Again, this all benefits the RAIN charities of Montrose Counseling Center, Lesbian Health Initiative, and 10% going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Dream. Yeah, that too. Don Gill Productions presents the Boy of Montrose Contest 2011.
Oh, my God. There's something going on that's not a Reese's?
Yeah, amazing.
Okay.
On Saturday, July 16th, social is at 9, contest starts at 10. All this is taking place over the Ripcord, 715 Fairview.
Of course.
For more information, you can go to boyofmontrose.org.
Yes, because they probably could use some contestants.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, and then on July 17th, which is a Sunday.
Sunday.
From 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. over at the Ripcord is Louis 39 Foreplay.
Ooh.
So come on out, enjoy some receptions, a few skits, and the pen and poster unveiling. So.
Was that yours?
Yeah, that was the one I pulled off the Louis website.
Yeah, because I couldn't print out.
Yeah.
First, we couldn't get the picture, and now I can't print it.
Yeah. Let's see here. And half of this is blurry, but I'm going to do my best here. The Board of Directors of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc.
Presents
the annual Tent Revival Show.
Hmm.
Looks like at 7 p.m. on Sunday.
Sunday.
July 31st. I can't tell. It looks like it might be at the BRB.
Hmm. Well, when they send you these really tiny posters.
Yeah, because it looks like they're saying Brazos on here.
Okay. Probably.
And, of course, it goes to their usual charities. Let's see here. Oh, look. Don Gill again. Productions presents Live 2011.
Oh, yeah. That's the big one.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
August 21st at 7 p.m. over at the Brazos River Bottom.
Hmm.
Director and Master of Ceremonies is Clay Hardy.
Ooh.
And this is benefiting the PW Holiday Charities.
If you just go to see him MC, that's enough.
And then on August 28th from 2 to 5 p.m. over at the BRB is Pennies for Pets. This is benefiting the Pet Patrol People Pet Partnership. Bring that jar of pennies, quarters, or dollars down to the Brazos River bottom for a great cause.
Thank God you printed off that snapping little bitch will leave me alone.
What?
Gee. Tell us how you really feel.
I'd like to have them neutered.
Individuals and teams of friends compete to see who brings the most spare change. 1,000 pennies will buy 1 month's supply of pet food or one rabies vaccination.
He needs it.
1,300 pennies buys a month's supply of flea prevention.
He needs it.
Oh, God.
And 4,800 pennies buys 6 months' supply of heartworm prevention.
Yeah.
Let's see. It looks like...
How about the neutering? How much is that?
It doesn't say on here.
I asked him if he modeled for the poster there, and he said no. I said, well, I don't know. With it being wrinkled in all fours, I thought it was you.
What's it, a Shar-Pei?
A bulldog.
Proud sponsor of Outsmart, Houston's LGBT magazine. Bring a picture of your pets and brag about them on our wall of love.
If you
have any questions, feel free to visit their website, www.thepetpatrol.org.
That's a great organization, folks. And so save your pennies up for August the 28th.
Yeah, I'm not teasing about Pet Patrol. I'm teasing about the person who's doing their marketing. That's all.
Oh, okay.
taking pot shots at him because it's so easy, too.
Yeah, I see.
Kind of like what we did with Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's an even easier target.
I don't know. I was getting some good shots in today.
What could be easier than me?
Your main competition for Pin Master General.
Oh. Oh.
So.
Oh.
Except he has shorter distance to go down on his knees.
Mm.
He's already 3/4 of the way down there.
Oh, wow.
Who is this?
Russ.
Oh, my God. Is Russ doing this? Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what I sent you the email.
That's right. Oh. Yeah, he is a slut.
Hello, Pot.
Hey, I know I'm a slut.
The only difference is he doesn't blog about it.
In my advanced age, I have to.
I could just see Jimmy with a smartphone with Foursquare going and checking in at every...
I'm the mayor of BJ's.
Not even close. Not even close. No. No.
I could just picture it now.
Okay, so what do we do now?
Music.
Okay.
Yeah, we were hoping to have the Colt 45s in, but apparently Boo Boo's hibernating because TJR is having some sort of breakfast thing tomorrow. So
actually, I think. Is it TGRA putting it on, or is it the Colt putting it on for TGRA?
I don't know. I didn't get the email. I think he sent a text message to Judy.
It's one or the other. I don't know.
Yeah. He sent a text message to Judy.
Okay.
Not to us.
I think they're doing it for TGRA.
Which is strange, because he's got my phone number, so he could have texted me.
He probably tried texting me, and that doesn't work.
Nor me. I don't do text.
That's because you ruined your first phone when you pulled out the quill to write your...
Oh, I thought it was a hammer and chisel.
That'll really screw up your screen. I think that'll void your warranty.
Well, you see, I lost my last phone.
Ah.
Well, actually, first phone.
He found it, though.
I did find it. It was in the pocket of a pair of shorts, and I found it as I was taking the shorts out of the washer to put in the dryer.
So it's nice and clean now. Whether it works or not is a whole other story.
Oh, I already got a different one. I know. Yeah, well.
We're going to see if hatchlings are out and ready or
not.
They
are.
I know
they
a couple
are.
Showed up already.
Yes.
So we may play a little bit of music up to the top of the hour, or we may get them on a little early.
Whatever they want to do.
That's right.
We are accommodating. If nothing
Speaking
else.
Of accommodating the youth, we've got a Chris Hansen story coming up in Roundtable.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, I love the story. It warmed the cockles of my heart.
Yes, it did.
Was
yes,
it just your heart?
It's all his cockles.
Actually, I don't have really much for Roundtable tonight. A couple of updates on some stories. Mm-hmm. The Chris Hansen story. A movie that I didn't think was going to see the light of day around stuff is actually being playing on Showtime.
Oh?
Yeah, we talked about several months ago with a movie called Ticked Off Trannies with Knives.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Sounds kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet. I think it's one of those movies you need to watch in the dark.
I'd say I'd say with all the lights on.
Like I said, we'll try and find some other little stories to pull out and mm-hmm. Discuss later on.
Okay.
But that's coming up afterwards, after we get a Hatch, and probably playing a lot of music.
Probably. So, are we ready?
We're ready.
Cue up the band.
Here we go.
You are a bum, bum, bum. waiting by the telephone. Got your ticket in my hand. Do the very best I can. Taking love into my own hands. If you were sitting here next to me, you get the very best of me. I'm not leaving here tonight until my love can make you right. I'm taking love into my own hands. We'll be right back.
For rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2. Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hey, this is the Blues Hound, and I'd like to tell you about Blues on the Back Porch. On Sunday, July 10, we're having a little backyard fundraiser right here at KPFT from 4 to 8 p.m., and all of you are invited. Kicking off the show will be John Egan, who you won't want to miss, followed by everyone's favorite, the Mighty Orc, and headline the event from Los Angeles, master storyteller and guitar whiz, Doug McLeod. $10 will get you to the backyard for an up-close and personal show benefiting your listener-sponsored community radio, 90.1 FM KPFT. Bring your lawn chairs, coolers, and sunscreen, but please, no glass containers. Once again, that's Blues on the Back Porch, Sunday, July 10th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at 419 Lovett Boulevard. Hope to see you all there. KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, and a listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Alrighty then.
We're all discussing this. I have got to send an email to Ernesto. Ernesto, if you're listening, actually you're not because I know you're out of town, reading the mongrel correctly. A housing PSA saying all forms of discrimination in housing are illegal. Well, no, because, you know, if Bruce... Give me a queer-sounding last name. No, if, if Jimmy Carper was... there we go. If Jimmy Carper called up that woman going, hi, hello, I'd like to see the apartment, she would be able to legally say... I'm sorry, we don't allow butt pirates in our complex. And, you know, I just find it hilarious that we are playing a non-discrimination PSA on a show which is allowed to be discriminated against. And this isn't the first time I'll probably get in trouble for bad-mouthing something we played at the top of the hour, but, you know, got in trouble for commenting about homophobia on one, I'll get in trouble for commenting on this one, so, hopefully we'll get that one changed there until the law is changed, which I think it'll be quicker to get the PSA changed.
Probably.
Can I get off my soapbox now?
Yeah, because I'm going to go ahead and before we throw on the hatchlings over there, just mention what we've listened to tonight so far. I went on a little Sylvester kick tonight.
Sylvester?
Yeah, Sylvester. Started off the top of the show with Lovin' Is Really My Game by Sylvester, followed by I Fell in Love by Liquid Pie. Then after we did our announcements, I did a double shot of Sylvester again, Taking Love Into My Own Hands, and You Make Me Feel.
Whoa, Taking Love Into My Own Hands?
Uh-huh.
I saw that video earlier.
Oh, goodness. And then I rounded all that off before the top of the hour with Women Who Fly by Nona Hendrix. So, did a lot of Sylvester in here. So... Are the hatchlings ready?
Hey, look it.
Okay. I couldn't see this one over here, hiding behind the screen. So.
How?
Yeah. Oh, there's a bright light. Oh, dear.
Go to the light, Carol Ann.
Usually he sits over here so I can see him better, but.
He's hidden behind the monitor.
Yeah, right? I noticed that. So.
All right. Well, welcome. This is Hatch. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Cody.
I'm Makia.
I'm Miguel.
And I'm Brendan, one of the facilitators for Hatch.
Yay. All right. We were actually talking about that PSA a second ago. Like, why?
Do you know, actually, that reminded me. I had a conversation today at my complex where two gay guys said that they were told by management to lay off of the public displays of affection at the pool because there were straight people who might be offended.
Wow. Oh, dear.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, it's Texas. This is Texas. You can be discriminated at work. You can be discriminated.
Yeah, you can be fired for. They don't need an excuse at all to fire you.
Yeah, I mean, this is. Well, we're an owner state, so I mean, there's no. They don't need a reason at all to fire you. But
it's right to work.
But it as it is, it's just it's. You know, companies one by one have started putting in their own policies.
Yeah, they have independent policies.
Right.
Themselves,
not derived by state laws.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, another indication that the cultural shift is taking place.
Yeah. When we both got hired at Dave & Buster's, it was kind of one of those moments where we looked at it. It was like, hey, they don't discriminate. They not only had gender, they had not only had sexual identity, but they had gender identity
as well. Wow, that's
and it
great.
Was kind of like, this is a Texas-based company. Like,
right.
They're based in Dallas, but they have that. So it's kind of interesting. But
that is interesting.
This is an interesting thing to listen to on the radio when we're about to come on. All right. Well, we're going to start off today with... how was our pride?
Yeah.
So we're going to go with Miguel first, because this is kind of good.
Should we start by, like, throwing out some phone numbers or something?
Oh, we should. Yeah. I never have the phone numbers.
I forgot the cards. I'm sorry.
Here, let me see. I have them somewhere here. Let me see.
We're so unprepared.
I always forget the phone numbers.
Is
okay.
That it? It's right up there, right?
No, that's the phone number to the radio station.
The KPFT. Oh.
Okay, I've got Hatch. Hatch's number, if you'd like to contact them, find out more about the program. Uh-oh, it's not on here.
Oh. I'm telling Deb.
You're going to be in trouble.
I'm going to
I have the card for the Hatch number. Oh, I'm going to fall asleep.
Oh, dear.
That chair went back further
Hatch
than I wanted
son.
To. Here we go. I have Deb's card in my wallet. I forget that I have that. All right. You can reach Hatch at 713-529-3590. And I'll say that again, 713-529-3590. Or you can always find them on the World Wide Web at www.hatchyouth.org.
And it's called Blair.
Yeah, right. I don't think that there's a blah in the middle there, but I could not say www. Yeah, I can't do it.
Blah.
I don't know. That's weird. Can you do
www.hatchyouth.org?
Okay, so he can do it. I can't. Of course, you can always.
He got skills.
He got skills. Or you can always look at Google it. Just Google Hatch Houston, and you'll find it.
Mad skills.
Did you find the
nunchuck skills? Mad skills.
Yes.
You have
the
Hatch board
coming
or
up
the
right
switchboard?
Now. The switchboard. Yeah. Okay, I hope this is it. 713-529-3211.
It's going to be a crisis.
That's for the gay and lesbian switchboard number. Again, 713-529-5311. No, 3211. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord.
713-529-3211.
I promise none of us are intoxicated. I just came off of a double at work. This one right here, I don't know. He's the only coherent one.
I've been napping, so... I had a very lazy day. I have my full cognitive ability.
Should have been napping.
Kia is half asleep, so...
I've had a busy week.
Yeah, so...
And I stayed up all night.
So we're not all together today, but we're here. That's what counts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got the phone numbers out. We got the website and everything like that. We can start off with the show, right?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to tell them when Hatch meets and what have you, I mean, you don't got to do all that. That's cool.
Oh, dear.
It's on the website.
It's on the website. All right. Well, Hatch meets 3 days a week, Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. Tuesday is from 5 to 9. The first hour is social. Second hour is...
transgender group.
You don't have to go to trans group if you don't want to. In the last 2 hours are what are they now? They used to be art.
It used to be like theater.
We had like writers group and
we had
writers
block, improv. What do they do now?
First hour is still social group, and second hour is transgender group. But if you don't, you have the option to go transgender group if you want, or just have a social hour if you're not in transgender group. And the last 2 hours is an activity hour. And
just
that's
it. Generally, like Fridays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Except with the ad element.
And no small group. Yeah,
and then Fridays and Sundays hold the same schedule, but there are different times. So it starts on Fridays at 7, and it goes till 10. And the first hour is social, second hour is activity, and third hour is small group. Sunday is the same schedule, but it starts at 6 and ends at 9.
Y'all, I miss small group.
I do too.
I really do miss small group.
I think we need to get together at Tattooth and sit down and be like, okay, this is small group. There are a few rules here at small group.
I swear, dude, man, over the last like 3-4 months, I've had some moments where I was like, man, I sure wish I had some small group right
now. Well, tell our listening audience what small group consists of. What happens in small group?
Well, pretty much small group is where we all come and sit in a circle, usually a circle, maybe a square. And it's basically an open forum where people can kind of talk about things that are bothering them, things that they're happy about, sad about, things that are affecting them personally. And it's just kind of, you get to express what's on your mind. You can have feedback or you don't have to have feedback. There are rules laid down for everyone to be respected, and it's just a really nice time to vent. That's almost always I vented at small group. And if I had anything to say, it was usually something angry, and it's good to get it out.
And it started and ended with everything that is said at small group stays in small group. Yeah. So it's one of those things where if you have something to talk about, you're in an area where it's going to stay in that room and it's not going to go anywhere.
You know what? And I totally, I've been thinking a lot about that recently because someone actually broke that rule not too long ago and told me something that they heard about in small group, and it kind of put me in a very weird position, I felt like, because I kind of feel like I needed to talk to the people that it was about, but at the same time, I'm not supposed to know because it was like small group. And so I think it's really important to follow small group rules.
It's very important. And back when we would have been in Hatch, you know, a year ago, we would have had to have reported that person.
Yeah.
It's very detrimental to talk about things in small outside of small group that we heard in small group, because if Dev or Dez finds out, you can be banned from Hatch for a small amount of time.
Yeah.
And reoccurring events can even get you expelled for months at a time.
Right. I guess the burden is if you had no other way of knowing about it other than what you heard someone say in small group, then you don't share it.
Well, without even just the repercussions of breaking the rule that you're going to get from Hatch as a whole, it's like that's somebody's confidentiality. Like, that's very uncool to break that person's confidentiality.
Yeah.
Think about how uncomfortable they're going to be, first off. And second off, like, how that's going to affect whether they'll share something again if they have another problem.
Mm-hmm.
So to disrespect that is even worse, I think, than the fact that it's breaking a rule. Mm-hmm. You know, that you don't have any respect for that person's confidentiality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also important to remind people about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you might not have all the facts, and so you putting somebody else's business out there could put them at risk, you know, any kind of emotional distress and whatnot.
So. Yeah.
So Hatch takes small group very seriously. It's very important. If you have something important to say, you say it in small group, and it's special.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Special.
So, and it's a great time, and, you know, it's summer, so if you can get as many Hatch, you know, sessions in as you can, get as many meetings as you can, because we all know when going back to school happens, you're not going to be able to go as much as you want to.
Yeah.
And we do have people who will come primarily in the summer.
Yes.
Primarily during the school year.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids who are regular and come all the time, and then there's the, you know, the people who can only come during summer, or there are some people who can only come in during the summer because they're only in Houston during the summer.
Right.
There's a Hatch youth, and we will not say his name.
Why not?
Because he's not here, and therefore we will not divulge his name.
Breaking confidentiality.
Now, if they have been on the radio show before, you can mention them because they're a part of the
radio group.
Has he been on the show before?
No.
I remember one time. Oh no, we went and got pierced that night. Never mind.
Yeah, he's only in Houston for the summer. He comes and visits Houston, so he only gets to go to Hatch and come, you know, to the meetings and stuff during the summertime. So it's a really, we got to see him at Pride, and it was very exciting. We were very happy to see him because he's here in Houston.
We love you, person who we can't say the name of.
Well, here's someone I can't.
Visiting from California.
But here's someone I can say. I saw Aja at the parade.
Did you?
Yeah. Yes, it was really nice.
You know what? I'm going to take a second to say something that might be inappropriate. I think Aja blocked me on Facebook.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Drama. I think she did. I think
wow.
she did.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. I'm not gonna trip on it, but
you sound upset.
I mean, you know, things come out the way they do, whatever. I think she blocked me on Facebook. I don't think she wants to be my friend no more, whatever.
It was probably a mistake. Wow.
It's her loss thing.
I know, I'm the awesomest person ever.
It was a mistake. I'm sure.
All right,
mistake.
So we're gonna jump to Pride now, because we have touched on a few times here. We're going to start off with how was everybody's Pride, and then we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about Pride. So I'm going to start with Miguel. Quick, you know, rundown of how was your Pride.
Pride was awesome and really hot and 105 degrees outside.
Very warm, yes.
Basically, I went to the festival, and it was real awesome. I got a lot of, you know, free stuff. I talked to many different booths, many different organizations. And I talked to this organization that they... said it was pretty interesting. It was like some sort of philosophical view. It was really nice. And got free drinks from somewhere I can't remember. And then I bought something at Walgreens. Like, seriously, there was this booth that convinced me, buy these two drinks for $5 and it'll calm you down or it'll make you lose weight. I'm like, I fell into that trap.
No, dear.
I was so caught. And, unfortunately, you know, since I take the bus, I had to take the bus like around 3 and then get dressed and come back for the Pride Parade because I was walking with OUTSA, HCC's Gay Straight Alliance. So, yeah, it was pretty fun. It was my first time, you know, in the parade this year, marching, and I gave off a lot of beats to a lot of people. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
So, and my feet hurt it at the end of the parade because I was wearing dress black shoes.
Oh, that! Why were you doing that?
I just wanted to look good.
Well, yeah.
I just wanted to look good, so I just wore dress black shoes.
You took that pain is beauty thing, literally. Huh?
And really, overall, Pride was awesome. It was amazing, and it was wonderful.
So being the first year actually in the parade, you've been to it before, though.
I've been to Pride since 2007, excluding 2009, because I didn't know the bus system well, and I depended on car rides.
So this was your first year to actually be in it?
Yes.
So would you do it again?
Yes, I would. And I would like to do it for Hatch next year.
Okay.
I would love to. I was going to, you know, do it for Hatch this year, but I didn't do so much practice with the ukuleles practice and all that. So
apparently no one did.
Yeah.
I did. And I kept trying to tell Deb, if you just let me keep one of these ukuleles, I'll whip up a ukulele band. I'll make it happen.
Well, we did have ukuleles.
They were there. I don't think they were played very much.
There were several kids who could play the ukulele. You couldn't hear it from the audience. I was at a few of the practices, and there are several kids who know what they're doing with those things.
Right.
But with the crowd and everything, they had a speaker system that they had that was supposed to be set up,
exactly.
And it ended up not working.
Right.
Like, they had lined up, and it was working, and they were ready to go, and they turned it on, and it wasn't working
anymore.
Oh,
that's too bad.
And so it had short-circuited on the route. This is what I'm hearing. I actually didn't walk this year. They had several practices, and I actually got to be there for one of the practices this year. Because I was doing some of the art stuff for the prom, and they're pretty good. You know, they're not great. They're getting there, but they're pretty good. And they had learned some of it. So,
speaking of prom, shout out on the table decorations for prom.
Thank you. Thank you.
They did get a bit destroyed.
They did. I walked through. People were using them as fans. It was.
I was using them as stands. It was hot.
I helped glitter those shoes. Let's remember that.
You helped glitter those shoes. There were several people who contributed to putting together the prom decorations. We're gonna get to prom in a second, though. Let's get through.
Why
pride.
Why did we do prom first?
I don't know. Why didn't we do prom?
Because
did
you were
first.
Just so eager to talk about pride.
Thank you for your three helping us. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I helped what you guys do.
All right, so we're gonna get through pride, and then we'll get to prom. So this was not my first year at Pride, but this is my first year not walking. Every year that I've gone to Pride, I have either walked with Hatch. No, I've walked with Hatch. And this year, last year I made the decision that this year I would sit and watch the parade, and actually watch the parade, not just, you know, walk it and then be trying to get back to my car before, you know, or whoever was giving me a ride before the insanity broke loose. So I made the executive decision that I was going to sit and watch. And I ended up getting into a group of ex-Hatch youth. We all got together and we met up and sat and watched the parade. And it wasn't as exciting as I wanted it to be. And I've seen a lot of parades in my life. And this was just, you know, it was interesting, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted to see.
I've never been one to watch parades myself. I never really understood why people went and watched parades in the first place. That's just not something I was ever able to wrap my head around.
See, I grew up, every year we watched the Rose Bowl Parade, we watched the Macy's Day Parade, we went to the Thanksgiving Day Parade here in Houston, St. Patrick's Day Parade. My family's a very big parade people. We go and we watch parades. I guess it's my dad. He was a military guy. His family was military. They went to parades all the time.
They like the marching.
I think they like the marching, yes. But out of parades, yeah, it was interesting, but it wasn't exactly what I was looking for.
So what were you looking for? What did it lack?
I think it lacked more of the flair of the gay community. You know, It was kind of plain. People were marching and carrying their banners, and you were very happy to see these groups represented. Especially, you know, when Hatch came around the corner, you know, I screamed as loud as I could, like
everyone
everybody
loves
else.
Hatch.
Yeah, the Hatch.
The whole group.
Hatch and P Flag.
Yeah, the whole group that I was in started, you know, chanting Hatch, because we're all Hatch youth or ex-Hatch youth. And so we just started, like, chanting Hatch, and we got the whole, like, section that we were in to start chanting Hatch. It was great.
We should have done the wave.
We should have done the wave. And Deb walked this year, which was shocking for me. But it wasn't exactly, you know, what you expect when you think of a gay pride parade, you know, kind of out there, fancy, glittery, shiny. It was kind of plain.
So you expected more drag queens and leather vest and bustiers.
Maybe more drag queens, some more, you know, rainbow, some more excitement, some more
glitter.
Floats and glitter and stuff like that. Just a little bit more glamour, and it wasn't as glamorous as I thought it would be. But it was an interesting experience, and I'm glad I had it. Although I made the executive decision at the end of this Pride Parade that I will be walking again next year, because I have more fun walking than watching.
Mm-hmm. And when you go with Hatch, we're usually pretty far up the list. You know, we're one of the starting organizations, which is nice because you can do your thing with Hatch and then kind of slip off to the side and watch the rest of the parade.
Yeah. For me, the festival is also a really big part of Pride Parade for me, though, because I get to see and meet up and talk to people I haven't talked to in a year, you know. And we always exchange numbers, and I'm like, I'm going to call that person, and, you know, we do and we don't. But it's a great time to, like, see people and be in a community where you know people and be around that many people who are, you know, loving towards who you are. And it's just a fun experience. All right, it's your turn.
It's my turn?
It's your turn.
I had a good parade. I did not really watch the parade. I got there a bit early, like 3 or 4. It was my first year having been hatched out, so I was 21, and I got to just kind of enjoy the parade in my own legal way. So I had a good time. But, my favorite part about Pride is always seeing people I don't get to see often, people that come into town. I had, like, 5 or 6 friends that were like, I'm in town just for Pride. And I was like, yeah. So, that and, I'm not gay. I'm an FDM, so we're a lot more spread out. It's hard to find. So if you can get us all in one area at one time, we usually, you know, can meet up and say hey. And it's a lot of people you don't see that often.
Right.
So it was nice. I had a good time.
Mm.
All right. I live right next to the parade, though. So, like, I walked there and I walked back and just, I could not sleep that night. Everybody was being crazy up and down the area. There was a lot of good people watching, though, from my
time. I love people watching.
Lots of that. The whole night. You just one. You'd start over on this side of the street, and then somebody down here would catch it, and then just kind
of goes
down.
It's woohoo spreading like mad.
Woohoo spreading.
Did he hear things being thrown against the wall or the window?
Somebody cracked. My window was cracked after that. But it was cracked when I got back from Pride. So I think somebody like threw something at it. I live like right in the area. So and then my friend's bike was stolen from my apartment.
Oh my, that's terrible.
Because he left it there. We hung out before Pride, and then he came back, and the bike was gone. And we were like, oh, this is terrible.
Did he chain it well, though?
He had a U-lock on it,
And it was right next to both of my bikes, right? But my bikes are quite small, so most adults don't want to steal my bikes. Yeah, but his bike was really nice.
Cody has fun-sized bikes.
I do. I am fun-sized. My bike would, of course, be proportional to me.
All right. Kia? Yeah. You want to talk about your Pride? Come on, baby.
My Pride was pretty cool. So I got like a phone call a few days before, or not a phone call, I got a Facebook message a few days before Pride from a balloon artist that actually really helped me get started doing balloon art. And she was like, hey, would you be interested in doing balloon animals at Pride? And I was like, psh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even have to pay for my booth or my permit or anything. They just gave it to me. Because Pride wanted an artist there, doing balloon art, and I was pretty excited, you know. Not a lot of people wanted balloons at Pride, can't come to find, and I was, you know, I halfway anticipated that, because when it's hot, like when it's really hot outside, and you're like, I have $20, what am I gonna spend it on? And you have lots of things like food and beverage and
balloons,
things that don't pop in the heat, you know, you're gonna spend it on things that don't pop in the heat. So I went into it thinking I wouldn't make too much money, but you know, just hoping that I would. I ended up making like $25, which isn't a whole lot considering like I'm used to making $25 in an hour doing balloon art, whereas I was at that booth for probably 4 hours before I bolted. But you know, being in one spot was actually pretty good, because like people walked by and I saw them, as opposed to like just getting lost and just some people I've never seen.
Bumping into people.
Yeah, so for the first 3 or 4 hours, I was just chilling at the booth making a few balloon animals, and then I was like, well, I'm done here. And like I was in a booth with a face painter and a lady who drew pretty pictures of people.
Caricature.
That one.
Yes.
And an airbrush dude, and they stayed in the booth the whole time. Bless their hearts. The poor artist, the lady caricature. Who drew pictures.
The caricature
woman. She made less money than I did. Like, poor thing. Nobody.
Yeah, you don't want to carry around a caricature all night.
No. The face painters, though, they were, their business was bumping. The face painters had it going on.
Yeah, my friend got her face painted. But it, like, toward the end of the day, she did it early in the day, and she was, like, sweating. So, like, toward the end of the day.
Yeah, see,
it was, like, her whole side of her face, she looked like she was like going for the Texans or something.
I never understood why people would get their face painted at like festivals and stuff that's outside. So I'm like, you're gonna sweat. Like, the only reason I had a tattoo, or I call it a tattoo because it was pretty, but it was on my arm, but the only reason I let her paint me was because she was gonna do it for free. Like, I wasn't gonna pay for that because I was gonna sweat that crap off before the day was over. But you know, it was fun. I ran into my sorority sisters. It was pretty awesome. What else?
I said hi next door to you.
You did?
Yeah.
You were with the gamers.
Yeah, so I volunteered for the Houston Gamers for quite a bit.
Over at the, where they had the Wii and the Michael Jackson thing going on.
Man.
They were fun to watch.
You know how hard it was for me to not just walk over there and just put everybody to shame?
Like, you should have.
I'm pretty beast at dance games, y'all.
She's quite beast, too.
I'm pretty beast. I have Dance Central at the house.
She breaks it down. She drops it like it's hot. Mm-hmm. And whatnot.
I'm pretty beast. But,
Woo!
So, yeah. And then I, too, was pretty... I was bored at the parade. I'm not a parade watcher kind of gal. This was the first year that I didn't walk in it. And so, definitely not going to do that again. I'm either going to walk in it, or I'm just not going to watch the parade. Because a parade can't keep my attention. It's nothing against Pride's parade. You know, I'm just not a parade kind of gal. I kind of wanted to ride my bike in the parade, actually. So, like, I don't feel like walking, but I'll ride my bike.
We could have rollerbladed. That would have been fun to watch.
We should put, like, rainbows on our bikes and ride next year.
I'm thinking that's what's going to happen, definitely.
Like a biking, like a cyclist thing?
No, cruise with Hatch. Just put some rainbows on our bikes and cruise with Hatch.
Rainbows.
There you go. Sounds like a theme.
How was your pride?
Oh, gosh. Well, I marched with MCC, which I've either marched with MCC or Hatch for the last 10 years.
That's a long time,
yeah. it's always a lot of fun. Before that, before I joined MCC and Hatch, I was actually at the Gay Roller Skating Club. And so we got to roller skate for Pride, which was fun. Those were the days. Of course, I go back whenever the Pride Parade was during the day. Whenever it was, the sun was beating down on you. So
where it was 105 degrees outside and you didn't have anywhere to hide.
Yeah. And you had on roller skates.
Yeah, so that was tough, but... No, that's great. I mean, it's you like you said, you always see people you haven't seen in forever, and it's just nice to be around 20,000-30,000 gay people or gay friendly people,
yeah.
And you're just a part of a big group, and you just enjoy and go with that.
Yeah. I had some coworkers who were like, I'm not gay, but I really want to go. And I was like, it's not a requirement.
Right. They're not going to check your gay card at the door.
You don't.
You're not going to have to make out with anyone. We promise.
You don't have to be gay to get in, okay? This is not, you don't have to have any presentation or I am gay situation. You can come and enjoy the experience as long as you're gay friendly and you're not going to be mean. And they're like, oh, we can come then? I was like, yes, you can.
Yeah, like, no joke, you can even come and be mean. No, like, everybody comes because there were protesters there.
There were protesters this year.
There was a guy who was set up not that far away from where
they usually
had a
don't
booth,
last
and he was
very
handing
long,
out the
though.
Christian
like those
pamphlets.
$1 million bill thingies,
oh,
you
yeah,
know,
right.
That they have. And then over, I don't know where they were, but I've seen pictures of them. Those the Bulldog Ministries. I don't know if you guys know the guys who stand out on Westheimer and Montrose with the big homosexuality of sin signs from time to time.
Yeah.
They were there.
I didn't see any of those.
I didn't see them either, but I've seen pictures of them, so I know they were there. I just didn't see them.
I saw them not last year because I didn't go last year, but the year before that, which was the first year I went. And I noticed that protesters don't really last too long.
No, they don't. There's
30,000 people that don't want you to be there.
They're
not going to be there that long. They're going to stand around you and make it so nobody can see
but
you.
But they are one of the most loyal participants in the Pride celebration.
They are. They've been there for a very long time.
Right.
They need to start paying an entry fee. Like, if you're gonna, it's almost like you're in the parade now. You gotta pay.
Yeah, I mean, and it is true. They're a common part of the Pride Parade, but again, like I said, they don't last long because
hate than they're throwing out at those things.
Exactly, and people don't even confront them anymore. No. They just kind of stand in front of them so nobody can see them anymore.
Right.
Yeah, they're not loud enough to go over the speakerphones that are around them anyway. So they just we corral them into a corner and stand so nobody can see them and they're gone and they can be there as long as they want to and they realize, hey, nobody's going to listen to us here. Let's go.
We respect your right to be here, even, but we're just not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Something I found kind of upsetting about this year's Pride was the water.
Yeah.
Especially
with the heat this year is bad.
The last few years that I've been to Pride, I know they've been doing it for a while, places like Walgreens and a few of the other booths give away free water. To help with the fact that it's 105 degrees outside and there's 30,000 people walking around and it's hot.
And some people don't think to bring their own water to the parade.
Yeah.
And some people are drinking other beverages that dehydrate you, especially in the sun.
To drink water. And they weren't allowed to give away free water this year. Which, I can understand because Pride is trying to keep Pride free.
Right, downgrade the cost of putting on the parade. And the
festival?
The festival and the parade.
Right, and the vendors who pay to be there wanted to make their money. So, I mean, it makes sense. It just kind of was like a shocker to me. I walked into Pride and I was like, hey, there's no free water. That's interesting.
See, I knew about it ahead of time, so I actually went back to my apartment like twice to fill up my canteens and stuff. But I lived close enough to do that. Like, I had that opportunity. But most people don't. I would have thought that it would have been kind of like a dangerous thing to do. I mean, it was very hot. And, I mean, I'm surprised there weren't more heat strokes and stuff. I'm sure that there were several, though.
With the amount of alcohol and other things that people ingest during Pride, needing water is definitely a necessity.
Oh, yeah.
But again, like I said, I can understand where the Pride Commission and the city's coming from with putting the injection in and keeping water from being free. You know, because they're trying to make their money to keep it free for us to go to.
Right, before we start being like other towns, you have to pay entry fee to come to the parade. Right. So it's kind of a like a double-edged sword. Like, do you want them to be able to make the parade free, or do you want to make sure you don't pass out?
Right.
I'm always interested to see which politicians show up and are in the parade, as opposed to ones that are conspicuously absent.
Okay, so I don't think I can say his name on radio. The politician that's running right now that has his last name gigantic.
Oh yeah. What is his first name?
I don't know. I know his last name.
Is it Eric?
Eric. Can you say his name as long as it's
his name?
His name.
What's
his name?
It's like Eric Dick.
Yeah,
that's his name.
That's his name.
But his signs just have his last name huge. Like, I don't even know what his first name is. I think it's Eric.
I don't know. But like he was out there running around. Like his group was running around. He was in the group running around. And I was like,
that's great.
It's the Gay Pride Parade.
Especially
your last name is gigantic.
just running around with signs like that fit right in.
Right. I mean, how appropriate.
It was like, are you even gay friendly, or is it just because your last name is that?
You think all the gays gonna like you just because of your name?
Well, I mean, I think it says a lot when city council members and local politicians come out.
Yeah, Niece Parker was there,
of
as
course.
Usual.
But she comes to everything.
Yeah,
she's so good about that.
Yeah, and there was the new comptroller, or the one that's going to be the new comptroller. She was there. And there were several other politicians who rode and or walked in the parade. So it was really cool. And as always, there was that procession of like 10 honorary, or the gay man, or the straight one, or the lesbian, or
the grand marshals,
the grand marshals, the 15 grand marshals.
Oh, that's quite right. Who was the celebrity grand marshal? When did we start having celebrity grand marshals?
I don't even know who it was. There was the group of I don't even know who it was. It was some designer, I guess, from HGTV or something. I don't know.
That's
what somebody said to me. He's like, he's a designer from HGTV, and I was like, okay, that makes no sense to me, but sure. The gay men around me freaked out when that WB one came by that had America's Next Top Model, two of the models on it. And I was like, are those actual Next Top Model models? And they're like, yes. And I was like, oh.
That's cool.
Okay. This means nothing to the lesbian who wears cargo pants and tie-dye shirts. But sure.
I like to look at lesbians. I like to look at models.
I like to look at women.
That came out wrong. I like to look at models.
Models are nice.
They're there to look at.
That's why they're models.
That's what they do for a living.
That's the big bucks for.
But I didn't know who they were. They were pretty women on top of a float. That meant to me.
And what else is there?
Exactly.
It doesn't have to mean anything except what it means.
And again, for Gay Pride, having pretty women on top of a float is not common. Most of the time, it's pretty men on top of a float.
This is true.
So yeah. It was
I thought
nice.
You were trying to say there were ugly women on the float.
No. It's like the South Beach one, or the Meteor one. There's all guys. So to have women on one was kind of cool.
And you know what? And it's not even like the thing that I love most about Pride, more so than seeing people I haven't seen in a long time, is just seeing so many lesbians. Like, I get so excited being around so many lesbians, because lesbians hide under rocks.
We do. That was something I was talking to somebody in the crowd about, one of my friends, Eli, from school. How many lesbians were at this Pride? Like, it was mostly female populated. And
At the festival.
It's a festival.
Yeah.
Aren't lesbians known to going for
festivals? To known for their festival liking. Not so much parades, though.
Dude, parades are...
I couldn't understand. Like, then somebody had said something to me about how at like Splash and stuff like that it's mostly female populated as well. So I was like, but I always thought that it was kind of 50-50, you know. And this year it was definitely not.
There were a lot of women then.
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah.
Dude, I was stoked, man. I was happy as... I can't even think of an analogy to describe how happy I was. I love lesbians, y'all. So much.
We kind of figured.
Yeah. I was so elated to be around so many lesbians.
It was it just me, or was it more female-based
this
year?
No, that's what I was saying. I saw a lot of women this year.
Yeah, yeah. There were a lot.
Now that I'm thinking back to how... Yeah, there's a lot.
And I just want to know where all these women are the other 364 days of the year, because they are so hard to find.
Hiding under rocks. We don't go out.
Y'all don't go out, man. I'm old.
I'm sorry. I loved my job at Dave & Buster's for one reason, because I actually saw lesbians out and about together, and I could tell them from the other women.
Yeah, they kind of stuck out.
Because they stuck out at Dave & Buster's. But that was like the only time I would see lesbians out together. I was like, ha, look at them. It's a moment, because we don't go out, and we only go out when we're in pairs.
Y'all stay at home.
Man, and see that?
That's a stereotype.
I made her get rid of her cat.
I got rid of my cats.
Did you get rid of the cat?
All the cats are gone.
Oh my god, I'm
poor
so happy.
Kitties.
I was not a fan of those cats.
I hated the cats.
They hated me.
I hated the cats too.
Were they really that bad?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not... Terrible. Well, I'm not even going to get into that. But, good lord. Anyway, I love lesbians. I was happy at Pride. It was fantastic. It took a lot of fighting to get rid of those cats. Oh my god. You would think those cats were people. It was
so
hard to get rid of
them. She didn't do it for me, so.
Yeah. No, well, the biggest issue I had with the cats was for my sister. And so we ended up working it out. But that's another subject, not what we're supposed to be on right now. Why are we talking about the cats that were in my house? Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Do you want a cat?
No, I don't want any cats. Your cat leaves white fuzz everywhere. Your shirt is covered in white fuzz. We don't need
Cosmo came with me to the show.
I want a puppy. Do you have a puppy?
No, I want a new puppy.
What happened to your puppy?
I got rid of her. She was very cute, but she was a handful, and I ain't got that kind of time.
All right. So the next major topic of this last month of excitement and joy since the last time we talked to you on the radio was Hatch Prom. Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Hatch Prom was amazing this year. It was a turnout that I had.
It was okay.
We had a turnout that I had yet to seen before. I have yet to see. I don't know. There was a lot of people there.
I had yet to see.
Okay.
There was a lot of people there.
I'm used to there being at least one or two tables empty. This year, single table was full.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing, amazing turnout and amazing fun.
It was my first year, so I have nothing to kind of compare.
That was your first prom?
It was my first Hatch Prom.
Really?
Yeah, he had run into a lot of the same issues that I used to.
Just kind of never ended up going, but I went this year, and I got to be Deb's date. I got to be Deb's special date.
Oh, that's fun.
It was okay.
And he looked like Agent Smith from
I did. I looked good. Oh, I had my button up and my tie, and I had a suit jacket, but I just looked too good. I had to take it off. Nobody else had on jackets, and so I was like, I feel almost too prim and proper. I'm going to take it off. Yeah, so. But it was a good time.
It was definitely a different dress up for me, because last year I wore a 6-button duster, a really nice suit, and this year I wore slacks and a button up shirt. I'm not doing this.
I almost
fancy.
Wore a 3-piece suit with the vest and a little pocket watch chain thing. Like, I was gonna go all out.
That would have been pretty pimp.
And the little handkerchief. I had a red handkerchief on a black pinstripe suit with a vest and the little. I almost did it, but I was like, I got a bike there.
He lives like three blocks from
like five.
Five.
And it's not far at all. I'm just saying, I didn't want to mess with my fancy suit. I mean, look at fly. I don't want to screw my suit.
But you still look pretty fly.
I did still look good.
You look pretty fly. Deb, it was pulling, it was 7 o'clock, and
she was going to try to go through.
Yeah, we had opened up, and we had finally finished setting up everything, and the volunteers were getting the food out and everything. And Deb is standing at the front door in a polo shirt and shorts. she had her slacks on, but she was in a polo shirt. And I looked at Deb and I said, "Deb, what's going on here?" And she's like, "What?" I was like, you sent Dez to get dressed. What's happening with this? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, Deb, I will pick you up and carry you to the hatch room where you were trying on shirts earlier and vests to see what looked good on you and make you get dressed. And so she's like, okay, fine.
I'm glad you fixed my date up.
Fine.
She had a bow tie on when I got there. It's like,
and so we got her back there and she got dressed and came out and she's like, okay, I give in. I look good. And I was like, yes, Deb, you look good.
We helped dress her.
Because she had three different
she
vests.
Needs help sometimes.
And she was like, which one should I wear? And I was like, not that one.
Well, if she was going to try to wear a polo, she obviously needs help.
Yeah.
Like, it's prom.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And it was a lot of fun for me and Kia because we got to go up and crown the court.
Right, because you were, what, the king or something last year?
I was king last year.
Yeah.
But Deb came to me and Kia this year and said, hey, you guys have done a lot for Hatch. You're kind of the model that we use when we talk about Hatch Youth. Would you guys like the honor of crowning the court, help Dez crown the court? And I was like, hell yeah. I'd love to go up there and crown the court, you know? It's something I've been crowned with before. I know Kia's been crowned with before.
Queen 09.
You tell
me. I was king 08 and 10. 08 and 10? Yeah. So we got to go up there and do that. And the thing that kind of made me, like, smile inside was before we went up, Deb gave a little bit of an announcement for each of us, like, who we were and, like, why she gave us the honor and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. And I'm gonna moderately regret this because I don't know what the youth are doing next year, but I've donated my time next year to doing the decorations again.
You're going to do it again?
I'm going to do it again.
The whole year.
Yeah, you complain. You make our living room a mess for weeks at a time. Can't even access the couch because there's a huge work table
giant
in the middle
boxes
of the living room. And then at the end of the last minute, okay, will you help me? I need help. Blah, blah, blah.
Cody, can you help me with the glitter?
We need help.
What did I ask? I did not ask you to help me with the glitter.
I totally
we were on a guy's line. And I said,
I wish
hey, guys.
I'd never volunteered to help you with that. Just to be, like, I was happy to help Hatch. Like, that was, I wanted to get, but I will not choose it on the glittering activity next year.
I didn't tell you Dad to help me with the glittering. I didn't say, hey, Cody, I need your help, man. This glitter needs some help.
No, I'm saying I wanted to help.
But next year, I
will make sure it does not pertain to glitter.
Yeah.
Because for, like, the next week, I seriously would find glitter. Like,
well, that's why we call it what we call it.
Can we say that? I wish we could say that.
Why
I don't
can't,
think we
I
can
think
say
we
that
can.
On the air.
Oh, we can?
Yeah,
we can. What? The gay herpes.
The gay herpes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just call it art herpes.
It is crafty herpes.
Because gay herpes is just herpes on a gay person.
That's true.
That's just silly, y'all.
And
there's nothing funny about herpes, y'all.
No. Not even a little bit.
Glitters.
It did look fabulous.
It did.
I still have a pair of those pumps.
I probably still have glitter on some of my shoes from those pumps.
And, you know, we had a lot of people from the community there.
We did. Yes. We had a whole
a
bunch
lot
of people
different,
from the community.
Representatives from different organizations who have supported and currently support Hatch were there, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very
nice. And, Cody, actually, it was my first time there at Hatch Prom, too. And
okay, see, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, you know, you're not the only one that went to Hatch Prom first, and you know, your first time. I'm like, it's pretty wonderful. I'm like, I had a really great time, and I won a prize too.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you go to your regular prom?
Yes, I did. Prom? That's why I couldn't go to Hatch Prom last year because I had to go to my high school prom. I wasted like
eight. They were on the same day.
No, but I had to prepare. I spent like $60 to $70 on my high school prom, and I had to prepare and everything like that. So that's why I couldn't go to Hatch Prom. But since you know I'm not high school anymore, I'm in college. I had time to, you know, prepare for Hatch Prom. So it was really a wonderful time. The food was really yummy.
Yeah, the food was really good. They did that. They had, like, I must have eaten so many chocolate-covered strawberries.
And the prizes were awesome. I got a prize, a copy of the CD from the Game End Chorus of Houston.
Nice.
And rainbow pencils and rainbow candy canes.
And duckies, too. You got duckies.
Duckies
in you.
Yeah.
The community really comes through and really helps and supports.
Yeah.
All of the food, all of the prizes, everything that we give away.
All donated.
Are all donated. They're all donated from companies and restaurants and organizations that support Hatch.
Oh, my God. I want to talk about this one prize that this Hatch youth got. Like, okay, this was like the ultimate door prize. I was so sad because I didn't get it. It was like a Build-A-Bear workshop rainbow... a bear toy thing. Oh, it was really awesome.
Yeah, very, very rare.
And it had, like, I don't know what song it was, but it was really...
I believe it played Over the Rainbow.
Because that was the theme, too.
Yeah.
Over the Rainbow. I believe it played Over the Rainbow.
I mean, if you got $45, you could head over to Build-A-Bear and get that bear yourself.
That's an expensive bear.
With the song and the outfit. Well, I mean, if you want the bear and the song and the outfit and all that.
See, I went to Build-A-Bear once, made something for someone for Valentine's Day. But then, like, we broke up after that, and I was so upset. I was like... Because I put a lot of time into that bear.
Aww.
Yeah.
And they have those ones where you can, like, record your own voice. Mm-hmm. It's very, very kind of creepy doing that in the store.
I have a Build-A-Bear Kia built me for my 21st birthday. And it says, "Happy 21st birthday, Elizabeth." And, like, I'll occasionally hit it, and it'll go off. And I'll be like, okay.
You have it, like, on your bed or something? So
it's just that I have such a striking voice.
Yeah.
It scares people.
Surprising.
Another really cool thing this year was the Gendermen performed.
That was
awesome.
Yeah,
they performed it.
That was interesting.
Kuma.
They did a couple, and then they made Deb be a prop.
They did. They made Deb stand there and be a prop.
Oh, yeah, for the double rainbow.
For the double rainbow. It was hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
To make Deb sit. Stand there, and she didn't know because they had her kind of offset into the front, so she couldn't see
what they were doing behind her.
What they were doing behind her when they were pointing at her, and when they were like around her doing things around her, it was hilarious to like sit there and watch her do this.
It was pretty good.
Some of the Gendermen members are from Hatch.
Yeah, yeah. There are some Gendermen members that are ex
Hatches.
Most of
them hatched out.
Yeah.
I love Kuma. Kuma is one of my favorite, you know,
Kuma is always
really
a big
awesome.
Bundle of joy.
Kuma is amazing. Yes. I remember Kuma when he started Hatch.
Yeah.
When he first came to Hatch. And to see just how he's taken off and just really become a force, you know,
yeah.
Really become a personality in the community.
Yes, Kuma is definitely that.
It's just really... really amazing.
We love Kuma.
And it was kind of... we actually, when about halfway through prom, Deb came to all of the ex-hatches that she could find in the room.
Yeah,
we all got to take a picture.
I still need a copy of that picture.
We have copies at the house.
Well, Cody needs
one. I need to take the copies to Deb.
I've been meaning to take the copies to Deb.
Well, if you take them to me, I'll take them to Deb, because I'm over in CC a lot.
Yeah. But,
we can make that happen. Because I need one anyways.
Yes.
And I'm gonna bug you about. Tomorrow. I'm gonna bug you about it incessantly now until I get one.
You gonna take him to Deb tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll take him. Or actually, there's Hatch tomorrow. Yeah, I'll take him up there tomorrow.
Cool.
I'm old now. I can't.
On my bicicleta.
Your bicicleta.
My bicicleta. That means bicycle.
It's in Spanish.
For people who may not know that word or who don't speak Spanish.
See, but then you wouldn't know that word if you don't.
Well, see, I don't speak Spanish, but I know that word, you see?
See, I don't speak Spanish, but I know a couple of words.
See,
most of them I can't say on the air.
I speak Spanish, I love it.
Yo puedo hablar español.
No hablo español, señor.
Man, but you know what? Like, one thing that, like, I like, about prom, like, my favorite thing about prom is dancing. Like, I love to get funky.
You do like to break it down.
I really do like to.
And you're
to
good
get funky.
At it. It's fun to watch.
Funky too!
I love to entertain the people.
Me too.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble in a second.
Why?
Oh, should we talk about you? I was going to talk about how I like the DJ, but we can talk about you if you want to. I was going to say that I really like DJ De La O. Is that her
De
name?
De La O, yeah.
Yeah, she was really cool.
She even played some dubstep. I was very.
She did. It was really awesome. She was really cool. Yeah, she was really good. I was about to say something mean to our last DJ, but that was rude. And so, and I don't mean to do that because the last DJ was cool too. But she was really awesome. So,
I enjoyed every time. Of course, the Cupid Shuffle comes on, the dance floor becomes ridiculous. Like there was literally no space left on the dance floor.
Room.
The people who joined in late had to stand on the carpet because there was no room left on the dance floor for anybody to shuffle.
And then the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, the cha-cha slide, which. Is I don't know very well, so it was kind of a watch people do it kind of thing.
How do you mean?
How do you not know it?
It tells you exactly what to do.
Hop one time, one step left. I mean,
are you deaf?
Everybody, clap your hands. I mean, honey, it's
very simple. You just do what you're told.
I'm not coordinated. I'm not.
You weren't.
Can you listen though?
Are you good at following directions?
Weren't you exposed to that in high school though?
I didn't go to high school. I was a homeschool student.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I wasn't a listener to things.
A little bit of a recluse.
Yeah. Oh.
She's the one that likes to stay home. See, Lakia was just complaining.
Because I'm like, how can no one know of that dance?
Right? How have you not been doing that since you were able to, like, comprehend what they were saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember sometimes when we had, like, a substitute in PE, they would just turn on, like, the bunny hop and the cha-cha slide and just make us dance.
We had to
learn. Didn't know what else to do.
I went to, like, an elementary school. It was kind of, like, deep in the south of Texas for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, it was a little creepy. But we had to learn line dancing in our gym class. I was like, really?
That's funny.
I have to know how to, like, do the grapevine? Like, how is this gonna help me? Especially, this is PE. I want to, like, play dodgeball and, like, do push-ups, and you're gonna make me grapevine and do-si-do and whatnot.
That's not okay.
I was not into it. I tried to, like, not dress out. You know, to, like, change in your gym clothes or whatever. I would, like, not dress out, and they'd still make me. They're like, you don't have to dress out to do country dancing. Like, oh. Like, it's actually better that you're in jeans. Now you fit the part.
I'll get you some boots.
See, cowboy boots just annoy me.
I love cowboy boots.
They're so hard to put on.
I just don't understand it either. I mean, especially people that wear cowboy boots in Houston, like, on the streets of Houston. Like, why?
But if you find a pair that really fit well, they're comfortable.
Are they?
Are they?
I can't imagine them being comfortable.
I never put a pair of cowboy boots on my life.
But I have flat feet, so most shoes are not comfy on my feet.
Yeah, I'm
I gotta wear skate shoes all the time.
Heck yeah.
Like, for me, I just love the heels. I like wearing shoes with heels, like dress black shoes, cowboy boots. I like to feel taller, and I just like to
feel... There are heels on cowboy boots?
I'm 5 feet tall, and I would love to be taller, but I'm not gonna wear shoes that do it.
That causes you a lot of pain?
Yeah, my mom does shoe work. I don't know, I've never worn heels. But my mom bought me elevator shoes once, which is kind of like heels, and she was all like... No, they have like wedges things on the inside of the shoe, so they look like regular shoes, but they make you like 3 inches taller.
Holy and butt. I know.
And my mom was like so excited. She's like, you're gonna be tall. I was like, first off, 5'3" is not tall. Second off, this hurts my feet. Why would I do this? She's like, she can be taller. I was like, screw conforming to your idea of what
it's
looks
tall compared
good
to her, though. You know?
That's true. It's very tall compared to her. I'm tall compared to her already, so yeah. My mom's like 4'8", so she wears big shoes, right? So she's all like always like just right under my height. People are like, your mom's not that much shorter than you. I was like, she wears big shoes.
I remember being over your house and your mom walking out barefoot into the living room, and I was like, oh, she's tiny.
That's the wrong word. Fun size.
I take it back. Fun size.
You're so fun offensive, size. Elizabeth.
I know.
I'm sorry. I take it back, I promise.
Non-discrimination by height.
I like fun-sized people, they're so adorable.
I walk up to my tables, like, I'll be carrying something at work, I'm a waiter, and we have these really, really long tables in one section that seats 7, but they're not, like, they're booth tables, not so, like,
oh,
you can't walk behind them.
Oh, yeah, they're one side of them.
Yeah, I can't walk behind them and, like, put their food in front of them from behind. I have to do it from the end of the table, and I can't reach the second person in because I have short arms.
You got T-Rex arms like
I've
me.
I've got T-Rex arms and tiny hands.
They gave me this big brain and tiny arms.
So I'll walk up to the table and I'll be like, okay, I suffer from arm deficiency. What? My arms are tiny. Can you pass this back?
He's holding up a sign.
Oh, what is
we should
say?
Talk about Father's Day, apparently.
Oh, yes, we should definitely talk about Father's Day.
I was going to make a brief comment that I have exceptionally long arms.
You
and
too.
So does my best friend, Richard. And sometimes we pass each other things from the opposite side of the room just for kicks and giggles.
Yes, I suffer from short... At Dave & Buster's, everything was kind of around the same height as I was.
Yeah.
At Chili's, everything is for a 6'4" person. Like, it is ridiculous.
So
I can't reach the kids' cups where they're at because they're above my height from my hand range. Like, I can't reach that high. So it's really a difference in, like, height situations.
Sorry, I'm getting a phone call.
Don't.
I'm not, but it was shaking. My pants were shaking.
Oh, no.
That's not okay.
Exactly.
Well, I agree with Miguel. We should definitely talk
about
Father's Day.
Oh, I've hurt myself.
Oh, dear.
We're all clumsy today.
Who would like to go first?
Let's start over there since she started over there last time.
Oh, me? Okay, cool. Hey, y'all.
Hi.
I have a dad.
How you doing?
I have a dad, and he lives in Tennessee. So I didn't really spend time with my dad on Father's Day. I called him, and I left him a message on Facebook, and that was my Father's Day. I mean, I'm totally broke, and so, you know, my dad wasn't expecting a present or anything, although I totally thought about getting him and my mother something, but that didn't really happen. But, yeah, love my dad. He's a cool guy. He just sent me some money.
Woot, woot.
Love my dad. Great guy. Great guy. That's all I got.
For the actual, day of Father's Day, I did nothing. My mother was out of town, and my father's deceased, so... But I'm very close to my grandfather, obviously my mother's father, so, the week after that, when my mom would come back into town, we went over there and ate pizza and played dominoes and helped him paint a fence and build a birdhouse and borrowed a lot of his tools. I did. I was like, Grandpa, I need a power drill and, some Allen wrenches. And he sent me home with a power drill and a saw and, some other stuff. I was like, what am I going to do with a saw? I don't know.
Can I use your saw? What kind of saw is it?
It's like a rotator saw. It's very scary. Like, you turn this thing on and it's like... I was like, I'm cool with, power tools, but that's a big old saw. Scary, but yeah, so and yeah, that's pretty much it. I did laundry in his house and
I need to step in just for a second. We need to do our top of the hour stuff and so our PSAs and all that. So we'll be back in a little bit with the Hatch guys.
Break time.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards. But if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and at the same time take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 877-308-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, radio for people.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Gallus, and 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Don't forget, you can also check us out on Facebook to search for After Hours. Look for the black circle with a pink triangle or something like that. Black circle, pink triangle, gold radio towers, silver stars, purple moons, something like that. Check out our Lucky Charms.
I was going to say, wait, you got purple moons coming out your rear?
Your belt's too tight.
I'll wait till the hatchlings leave to show you my purple moon.
Oh, my. Speaking of which, back to the hatch kids.
Oh, dear.
I didn't hear that.
We're going back to Father's Day now. So I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yep.
On Father's Day, I had to work. So we weren't able to do anything for my dad on Father's Day. But we made plans for the week after, which was the day after Pride, we went this last Sunday to Galveston and spent a day in Galveston with him. Unfortunately, about 8 o'clock that night, I got very sick. And so we had to cut the trip short a little bit.
Incidentally, your father got sick, too.
He did get sick?
Ooh. He got sickly.
Sickish.
He, you know, I mean, he wasn't feeling well. Yeah. He was tired, and he, no.
I was very, very sick. I ended up missing work the next day.
Oh, that's sick.
I got very sick. But it was fun, and he enjoyed himself, and we got to do the things that he loves to do on the Strand and in Galveston. And my sister walked in up and down the beach and collected seashells for some reason.
Seashells by the seashore.
So it was a lot of fun, and he enjoyed it, and it was really nice to be able to do something for my dad, which was kind of counter to normal, because we normally do something for my mom, and this year we didn't, so, I mean, it was interesting. But it was a lot of fun, so, my dad had a good Father's Day, so.
Did I tell you I broke my sunglasses today?
You broke...
Okay, let me rephrase that. My sunglasses broke today. I didn't break them. They broke.
You didn't,
today.
Like, you know, just I didn't malicely...
Say, oh, man!
Yeah, I'm so angry!
Which, you know, I totally got, like, thick framed glasses so they wouldn't break, and they broke, and so I'm really irritated.
Yeah, when we were in Galveston, we were going through all the shops on the Strand, and she didn't see anything she wanted, and finally she found some sunglasses that she really liked, so... And a really, really snazzy hat.
Snazzy hat.
It's a snazzy hat.
I need a new snazzy hat. I lost my hat. You know, that one I was so excited about, because I look so terrible in hats. So I found that one that I looked really good in, and I wore it everywhere, and of course I took it off one day because it was hot. And I lost it, so now I'm looking for a replacement hat.
Oh, it was a pretty snazzy hat, and it was a lot of fun. We went to this little ice cream shop on the Strand and got ice cream salt water taffy and all that other stuff. So it was really cool.
So you know that most people think salt water taffy is made from salt water from the sea, but it's made from salted fresh water.
Yes, it's a common misnomer. It's actually really cool, the shop that we go to, because they make it in front of you.
Oh, that's
and you
cool.
get to watch. They've got the big old fashioned cauldrons that they mix all the
stuff
in.
See, I'm so interested
in that
little weird stuff. I want to go to the Hershey's factory.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
That
would be a lot of fun.
It'll work out for like a year leading up to that, so I can just go in.
Yeah. All right, so it's Miguel, sir. What did you do for Father's Day, sir?
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm not connected to my father really that much. I do see him once in a while when, you know, he's paying child support and things like that. But I'm not connected to him at all. Like, I'm more connected to my mother than to my father. We don't have that son-father relationship at all.
Right.
Because I still think he's in denial. But, you know, it's just a lot of things. So I really didn't do anything.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was it.
That's cool.
My parents are totally in denial, too. But.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious to listen to her have conversations with her parents when she's talking about us. Because 2 days ago, 2 days ago, she was on the phone, and she was talking about how I had gotten sick on Father's Day. And she's like, yeah, my girlfriend got sick. And your mom just completely, like, glossed over the fact that you said girlfriend. I completely, like, just glossed over, like, it didn't exist. And I was like, huh.
It's
That's
so going
to be interesting when they have to actually, like, meet me and deal with me. But, you know, it's cool.
They'll be alright.
They'll be alright.
It's so strange to me how people can do that.
It's like, completely, like, gloss over. Like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Like, my dad did that, too, because he's like, whose phone do you keep calling me from? I'm like, I'm calling from my girlfriend's phone. He's like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah.
Like, they just choose to ignore it.
Yeah.
I guess that's better than outright unacceptance. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Still, it's still hurtful.
Yeah, well, it's
annoying more
I guess
than anything.
I mean, we've only been, like, in less than 16 days, some 15 days, we'll been together a year.
Yeah, don't forget
It's easier to do when you're just an idea. It's harder to do when they know
yeah.
who you are.
So, I mean, we'll have been together a year in 15 days. So, I mean, they're going to have to start, like, acknowledging
it's
that
only
I
been
exist.
A year?
Well, a year since we were officially together. Yeah.
Oh.
Officially, yeah. Officially.
Officially.
Okay. When the rest of the world knew we were a couple.
It actually took the rest of the world a long time to figure
it did.
Out.
It did. Yeah. There was a lot of people who did not have any idea.
I could never get a clear answer, though. I did keep asking.
Yeah,
like,
you did.
Oh, for a while we weren't dating.
And
we
you'd
were
be like,
hanging out.
But you couldn't decide.
But, yeah, so on the 17th of July will be a year, and,
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yay!
So we're excited, but it's kind of that situation of they have to accept that I exist one of these days.
Well, they haven't even met you yet.
No, they live in Tennessee. Yeah, but so I might meet her mommy like soon.
You're just like a figment of their.
Yeah, my mom might imagine. Come down in August. I don't know. She's supposed to have surgery, which means she'll get like 6 weeks of medical leave, during which time, you know, she'll probably travel, because that's maybe, what my mom does.
Maybe go, like, right after the surgery, when she's still got some pain medicine in there.
Oh, she's coming down here.
She'll be a little happier.
A little friendlier.
A little more friendly. Hi.
It'll be an interesting experience for them to actually have to admit that I exist in this world.
Yeah.
And not just gloss over me.
She'll be friendly to your face, I mean.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Mm. It's kind of the I don't know what to expect situation. Because you know my parents before, long before we started dating.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but I don't know. That's something that we'll have to deal with when we get there. I have some exciting news.
Do you?
I have some really exciting news. News that made Deb stop bothering me also, which was also very exciting, is I found out a few weeks ago that I am receiving one of the PFLAG Hatch scholarships.
Yay!
So I am very excited. I unfortunately will be missing the big like ceremony that they're having on the 10th.
Right.
I will be out of town. We are going on vacation. We leave on the 6th to Orlando, Florida. And so we'll be in Orlando in Universal Studios day that I'm supposed to be getting the information.
By the way, I'm so jealous. That you get to go to Harry Potter World.
Yes.
I want to go so bad.
When my manager was asking me why I need a week's vacation, I was like, I'm going on vacation. And she's like, huh, okay. Well, we knew when we hired you that you were going to be going on vacation in July. I was like, yeah. She's like, where are you going? And I was like, well, I'm a nerd. There's no getting around it. I'm not going to deny it. I'm a 21-year-old nerd. I'm going to Universal Studios Orlando to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I must go. I have to go. So it's me, my sister, her boyfriend, Kia, and a good friend of ours, Ashley, who's been on the show before.
Yeah,
who's going. We're carpooling or taking her car, which is tiny, so it's going to be uncomfortable.
I thought you were getting a van.
We were, but the cost...
You
is a little
to
bit
bring
more,
down
yeah.
The
we wanted to bring down the cost of travel, so.
So you're gonna pack y'all in there like pickles?
Basically.
Pickles are so much more tightly packed than sardines. Watch it. That's why I say that.
Yeah, we're gonna get packed in like pickles and spend 15 hours in a very tiny car.
Wow.
And then they had the idea that they would smoke in the car. While we're packed in there like pickles.
Adult pickles.
Oh well, just make sure they have window seats. I mean.
No. We're not smoking.
If they're smoking, I'm not going.
We're not going to be evil and smoke in the car. No. We've decided on about every three hours we're going to make a stop. Because we need to stand up anyways.
And
the three people who are
going to
be sitting in the back seat are going to be very close. Mm. So we need to stand up and move around. She drives a Cobalt. Is that it? I don't know.
Chevy Cobalt.
And so it's tiny.
Yeah, that car is small.
And it's red. It doesn't make any, you know, difference, but, you know, just so
yeah,
you know.
So it's going to be an interesting experience. But, that's, you know, the car ride is a necessary sacrifice for the trip. And so we'll go through that just to be able to, you know, be able to be in Orlando, Florida for the amount of days that we're going to be there. And to be gone for a week. We're going to be officially out of Houston for an entire week. We've got a few days planned in New Orleans and such. So
yeah, y'all are going to go gambling.
We are. The reason why we're going, the trip is happening is because it's Ashley's 21st birthday. And so we are going to Orlando first, and then on the way back we will be stopping in New Orleans proper to go to Harrah's and to enjoy.
Are we even going to be gone while her birthday happens?
Mm-hmm. It's on the 9th.
Okay.
Everyone thinks it's on the 19th. It's on
the
9th.
What day are you coming back?
We get back on the 14th, which is just in time to go to the midnight premiere of Harry Potter 2, Part 2.
I will be there.
It's not perfect.
Yeah, we know. We planned this perfectly.
I will be there.
We get back into Houston.
Do you have your tickets already?
Yes, I do.
Good.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the Alamo movie house, the Draft House.
Oh,
We're going to the Studio Movie Girl.
Oh, right. Because I was like, there won't be a bunch of kids around.
Yeah, we're going to the
midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I can have a beer and watch.
We're going to the Studio Movie Grill
And the fun part about this, I didn't know this about the Studio Movie Grill, is with most movie theaters, you get your tickets, but you don't have, like, you have to line up really, really early to get in. With the Studio Movie Grill, they do group seating, and so we're in the first group of people who actually get to sit. So as long as we're there early enough to be in the first, like, I think every group is, like, 50 people, then we get to go in 10 minutes before the second group and 10 minutes before the third group. So we don't have to be there at noon to get good seats.
Right.
And we just bought those lovely, lovely lawn chairs, and we can just sit in line in those lovely lawn chairs.
So I really want to go see it at the drive-in again, because last year I went and saw it in theaters, and then the week after that, I went and saw it at the drive-in.
Fun.
Oh, we should
great,
do that.
Because they usually play Harry Potter and then another one. Sometimes, I think this time they're going to play the last Harry Potter movie and then the new one.
No lie.
Oh. And it's only $5. You just have to drive up there.
We should do that. We should do that.
Yeah, and you get lawn chairs and get a whole group of you out there. And it's a lot of fun.
And we can bring our own yum-yums. Oh
yeah, you
God.
Can bring all your own Verity Bots, every flavored beans and whatnot.
Yes. Well, it's going to, again, like I said, we've planned this out specifically so that we'd be getting back to Houston in time to go to the midnight premiere. We are official nerds. Can't lie.
Yeah, I know. We're nerdy.
We're nerds. We fly that flag as
I
well
can't
as
hide
the
it
queer
at all.
Flag.
I cannot hide my nerdiness. I try.
Well, you have to hide your body. You have tattoos that prove you're nerdy. But that's really exciting and everything. But we are, of course, like I said, the original part is we're going to be missing the P5 Hatch ceremony for the awards, which is I'm sad about. I'm really, really stoked that I got a scholarship because, you know, I didn't apply last year, and I had Deb very upset at me. And Deb very upset is not something you want. So Deb. when I got to call her this year and I said I have a 3.86 GPA and I'm on the dean's list and I got the P-Flag Hatch scholarship, she was very, very happy. And so it was a great little moment for me.
I bet. She keeps bugging me to apply. I'm just lazy.
Actually, every one of you.
I should apply.
I applied.
You have very good chances.
I got rejected, unfortunately.
What?
You were rejected?
No, the counselor.
Like, oh, no, he didn't get rejected by the P5 people.
Yeah, I got rejected from the counselor because he wanted to talk to two of my professors to see how I was doing.
Oh, I remember.
And they never emailed him back. It's like, what? Yeah.
That's sucks. A shame, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, when we come back, we'll have news of Harry Potter World and Universal Studios.
You better take a crap ton of pictures.
I've gotten all my cameras ready at the house and
you
stuff.
You've
got to
bring
already.
Me some very lovely Harry Potter artifacts back.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
condom joke.
We should do the...
what did you say?
Condom joke.
Condoms.
Wrap it up.
If they have Harry Potter condoms.
I don't think that they do.
If they do, you
That's
have to bring
wrong.
Me some.
This
it looks
so
like
wrong.
It looks like a wand or something.
This is so wrong.
That's
okay.
Done.
Okay, this is horrible. We need to wrap this
it
up.
It was bad, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give you guys some numbers real quick, and Brandon's going to give you a number, so he needs to be getting his phone out and be looking at it and not fall
it's
asleep on the wall.
It's still a new phone. It's still a new phone.
It's
I haven't
beautiful.
Gotten
it. What do you call that?
It's a MyTouch.
Oh.
All right.
I love this phone.
He's got it in a fancy black case, too.
It is very glitzy.
It's
shiny.
I had the same phone for 7 years, and I finally broke down and got a smartphone. I don't know how I lived without it.
I really want one.
Everybody,
I don't know how I
lived every
without
time
one.
Somebody says, I just finally broke down and got a smartphone, they are in love with their new smartphone. I love my smartphone.
Yeah.
I love my smartphone to death. It's amazing. I love being able to be like, oh, I don't know what time I work tomorrow. Let me go online and check my schedule.
Awesome.
It's amazing. All right. So the first number we're going to give out is the number to Hatch, and that number is 713-529-3590. And then again, I'm going to say that one more time. It's 713-529-3590. And you can always find Hatch on the World Wide Web at www.hatchyouth.org.
Yay!
Or you can just use Google and search Hatch Houston, and you will be able to find all of that information. And I'm going to hand it over to you for the Gay Lesbian Switchboard.
The Gay Lesbian Switchboard number, which everyone should have programmed in their phone, is 713-529-3211. Again, that's 713-529-3211.
All right. This has been the Hatch Hour, and we are signing out. We'll talk to you again next month.
Deuces.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God. All right. While the hatchlings are filing out, which I wasn't prepared for.
Oh, yes.
There you are, Jimmy. Let me get a little bit of music getting
out
of
here. Oh, please.
Why don't you talk to our audience for a moment?
Okay. I've... later on in the show, we usually don't talk about what goes on in the other show that's happening on in the lobby or out on the back deck, but it's just too juicy, and I'm going to tell on them just a little bit
on
in the show. It's just too good, too good.
See, and I get stuck in here, and I never get to see all that.
See, you miss that. You miss all of that.
Well, if somebody else would relieve me in here.
Oh, you look like you could use some relief, yes. Of all kinds. So, he's still looking for a CD, out of 200 that I bring every week.
Go figure. Like you said, 200.
Oh, only 200? Is that the complaint? It should be more. Ay. Anyway, it is 2:17 in the morning. You're listening to After Hours right here on KPFT Houston. We're in between Hatch and music, and here he goes. Oh, I found something.
I just picked something at random.
Oh, just put it on.
I can't read. My eyes are going on me.
Oh, you didn't bring the right glasses, huh?
Oh, what the hell? We'll go with, yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
Let's see here.
That's a good one, whatever it is.
It always is. All right, are we ready now?
We're ready.
Okay.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go. I got all my
If you change your mind, I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know and I'll be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Gonna do my very best and it ain't no lie. If you put me to the test, if you let me try.
However, I should try, could I never owe me with nothing. Nice and tough and that's no feeling. Special care, why this is a little unfair. never too thick and heavy. Not the type of person to give in. Though I'm asking myself, on you can I depend? If I lost myself, would you help to find me? Or got my way home, would you remind me? Don't get me wrong, I'll be fine on my own. But if I'm ever truly in need, would you rescue me?
I'm here to win, lost driving with the chips, take seats. Everything is with air and feet. I'm here for good, I'm here for keep. I play to win, lost driving leaves.
Hey, 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 hey as you're born. Grown-ups check where you pee, and then they decide just how you're gonna be. Girls, pink and quiet. Boys, noisy and blue. Seems like a dumb way to choose what you'll do. It's only a wee-wee, so what's the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There's better things to discuss. Now girls must use makeup, girls' names and girls' clothes, and boys must wear sneakers, but not pantyhose. The grown-ups will teach you the rules to their dance, and if you get confused, they'll say, look in your pants. It's only a wee-wee, so what's the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There's better things to discuss. Now if I live to be nine, I won't understand why grown-ups are totally obsessed with glands. If I touch myself, don't you do that, I'm told, and they treat me like I might explode. It's only a wee-wee, what is the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, oh, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There are better things to discuss. Now, grown-ups, watch closely each move that you make. Boys, you must not cry, and girls, you must make cake. It's all very formal, and I think it smells. Let's all be abnormal, act like ourselves. It's only a wee-wee, so what's the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There are better things to discuss.
I would miss your obsessive, compulsive trick. time the phone rings. And do you know the best part of having cornies? I have noticed I want you back home.
Let's face it, most of today's media caters to our love affair with celebrities and show business, or it is driven by a corporate conglomerate's bottom line. That's why KPFT is an oasis you can turn to quench your intellectual thirst. For independent, trustworthy journalism, for diverse music and culture, for radio with purpose. These days, you can't take this kind of radio for granted. Now, more than ever, it's time to make a stand with your support of community radio. 365 days a year, we need you to keep this independent voice alive and well. Simply visit kpft.org to become a member of not just a radio station, but an oasis of music, culture, news, and more. That's kpft.org. Don't wait for a pledge drive. Visit us online to join now. This is KPFT Houston.
Take the square root of 625 and you get 25. 25 is a number, as in the silver anniversary of the Watermelon Dance and Summer Social. The Last Concert Cafe, located at 1403 Nance Street, is proud to present this KPFT benefit on July 30th, beginning at 5 o'clock. This year's lineup includes Lisa Novak, Jimmy Lee Dean Band, Richard Cagle and the Voodoo Choir, Zentropy, McAdams, Drum, Hightailers, Pot Roast, VMC, and at midnight, a special surprise. The admission fee is $15 for one. Bring a friend, receive a discount, $25 for two. Door proceeds benefit KPFT. For more information, dial 713-226-8563. See you on Saturday, July 30th. So don't think twice, just think silver. And remember, watermelon, the other red meat. 90.1, KPFT, Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Alrighty, then.
Watermelon, God.
I know, right?
We need to inform Sandy that on our show, when it comes to watermelon, we either fill it with vodka or we use it as a sex toy.
Oh, my.
And if it's a good party, you use it for both.
That too. Ooh.
Did I really go there?
Yes, you did. Shall we go over what we listened to?
Oh, wait, hold on. I still got to hit the damn talk button. Where am I at? Copyright confessor.
Yeah, you're on the wrong screen again.
Talk. And we're talking.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but that was a pretty picture on the other one.
I know it was. Scroll back up a little bit for me.
God, you played enough music.
I had to fill in a whole lot of time. Let's see, we started off... Jimmy, you listening in there? You are? Did you want to join in with us?
Yes.
Okay. Here comes the gang.
Okay. Yes. Well,
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle.
And after you do that, we're going to do surprise.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, goody, a surprise. We're getting another 4 weeks off then?
No.
Oh,
good. No, but you're involved in this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
I'm worried now.
This isn't fair. I don't have a dump button in front of me.
It's right there.
Oh.
Anyway, we started off our little musical interlude with I Will Survive.
Ah, yes.
Then we did a little Erasure doing a Take a Chance on Me.
Mm-hmm.
Patti and LaBelle doing Lady Marmalade.
Whoa. It's Patti LaBelle.
No, on this one it says Patti and LaBelle.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The group was called LaBelle.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Lady Marmalade.
Yep. Jack Luckman doing Boys and Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I say Luckman.
A little bisexual song there.
Yeah. Blue Light doing Take You Down. Jimmy's really liked that one.
Oh, I did. Those women are good.
Joshua Clip, Rescue Me.
I like him too.
I tried to play a little Frustrated Housewives. I know what boys like, but something the CD started skipping on.
Yeah, damn it.
So I popped out of that, went straight over to Naked Highway. We all like a little Naked Highway.
Oh yeah.
Barbara,
you got those mixed up. The CD is Naked Highway. The song was Better Off Naked.
Well, let's fix it then.
Oh, excuse me.
After that, I went ahead and did the Barbarella Tones doing Corn Huskin' Man.
Yes, and that's exactly what you think it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Jimmy's tongue just got hard.
Nothing unusual there. Holly Johnson followed that up with Legendary Children.
All of them gay.
Then we had a little Music Bear doing It's Only a Wee Wee. And we rounded it all off with Justin Tranter doing The Best Part.
Don't worry, Jimmy. We're getting more penis songs sent to us here soon. So,
okay. Ooh, yay!
Okay, so I've successfully made it through all that, and Jimmy walks out when it's time to do a surprise. So I don't know what was going on.
What do y'all have? Oh boy,
I don't know.
Who knows? He wouldn't even tell me when while we were away from the microphones.
Young man, if you're going to do exit stage left,
yes.
do it after your surprise.
Oh, okay. Well, the surprise is, everybody knows that there are two shows here at After Hours. One here in the studio.
And the one in the lobby.
And the one in the lobby and right. then the deck.
Yeah, yes. which I miss the one out there all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, we never really talk about what goes on out there.
Oh,
but
God.
Something happened tonight.
Oh boy.
And I cannot resist. Chris, can you come in here?
Uh-oh. you're in trouble.
Uh-oh, you're making
trouble.
Him get up.
I'm being called to the principal's office.
in this case,
the mother superior, but anyway.
There was a conversation out there between two men, and I just could not believe it. So, we're going to start out. It's very short.
When he says, I can't believe it.
I start out, you respond, I say something, and you, okay.
Hi.
No.
What?
No, I start.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Ian, how you doing?
Hi, how do you know my name?
We slept together.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Only here.
Only here.
Only here.
Wow.
Can I go to my side of the studio again?
I have something else.
Oh,
dear God.
Wait, there's more.
Yes, there's
but
more.
There's more.
And this came from one of the Yahoo groups I'm on, and this is not...
Not the one filled with all the porn.
Well, yeah, one of them.
One of them. Okay.
Oh, geez.
This is not anything local, but this is a real email sent to a Yahoo group.
I'm afraid.
You ready? Hello, brothers. I'm a proud Christian masturbator, looking for other Christian masturbators. Also, looking to connect with pastors, priests, music ministers, youth pastors, and other church leaders to talk about whatever we want. I am into texting, phone, Skype, etc. Let's be honest. Let's be free.
So apparently this guy is looking for an outlet to get holy chrism to use as lubricant.
It's like... what in the hell is a Christian masturbator?
That's it, I quit.
Right. Dominus a
I just fell out when I read that. I could not believe it.
That's
actual email.
Oh my! He's got two email addresses. I'm not going to give you the server, but the one email he sends on is called Pastorbating, and the other one is Pastorbait.
Oh God!
Pastorbait. You know, hey.
Yep, we've gone to a whole new level.
Yes, we have. I thought I would save that for this hour.
Smart move.
Chris is keeping that one.
I was Wes turns 20 Shades of Red.
I was the former head altar boy at my church.
I see.
Head altar boy? Head.
Sadly not.
Damn you, St. Iggy's.
Yeah, he's on the other lawsuit where they didn't touch him.
Yeah. Yeah, we were so informal with our, you know, at 7:30 service, we didn't use the full name of the church. We just called ourselves St. Iggy's instead of saying St. Ignatius Loyola.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
How very Italian of them. St. Iggy.
Yeah. Is that like Iggy and the Stooges?
Oh, God. Very good.
Pastorbate.
That's a new one, isn't it?
It's almost as bad as that one website called Maskerbait.
Oh.
Where basically all the guys toss themselves off while wearing a mask so you can't see who they are.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my God.
Then every time I've seen pictures from that, all of a sudden, you know, Phantom of the Opera goes through my head, Maskerbait! Did you do it? You're playing the wrong organ.
Oh, wow.
Somehow.
That's my contribution for this week.
I'll never picture Andrew Lloyd Webber musical the same way again.
Every time you hear that song,
right there.
All right, I'm going home to burn my Phantom of the Opera now.
I had a whole new visualization of that, watching Andrew Lloyd Webber's reality show in England to cast the leads for Joseph.
God, wasn't that horrible?
Well, the funny part about it was, you know, stripping off the Technicolor jacket off of the guy who was voted off the show each week. And it's like, okay, let's, you know, you're trying to find someone to replace Donny Osmond.
Yeah. How hard can that be?
Well, really? There's not as many Mormons over in England.
True.
To do.
Yeah.
Well, you have to settle with the gypsy travelers. Has anybody seen that show?
Yes.
My Big Fat gypsy Wedding.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mark, no.
You might want to turn your microphone towards you. Sounds like you're in a cave.
But it's a show. They just wrapped up their season on TLC.
No, he just looks that way.
These people have, when they have weddings,
what do?
They are, they make Princess Di's wedding look like they got married at the courthouse.
What?
They
Imagine what would happen if you passed off a royal wedding with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
What, one woman had a
great. She had a kind of another one in a tiara.
Oh my God!
She had a laid back type wedding. She only had a 20-foot train on her dress.
Oh,
oh my!
Only
most of these girls, because they're usually like, at 16, yeah, 17 when they get married. If they don't have marks on their body from their dress that they're wearing afterwards, the dress wasn't big enough.
Oh.
The dress weighs more than they do.
Oh, my God. How do they walk?
Very carefully.
Very carefully.
And you know, watching them get into either a limo or they take a horse-drawn carriage to the wedding.
I saw them all getting into the back of that limo, and I'm thinking,
what the hell did they do with the train?
Well, that's the one had a train. Most of them just have a really big, I mean, poofy, like 10-foot diameter.
Oh, you're kidding.
Have you ever seen what a woman wearing a hoop skirt looks like at the Renaissance Festival when she tries to sit down?
Whoosh!
Yeah, they had some of these women that were trying to sit down at the reception, and basically she had to get to the chair, stand on the chair, and help. They had to help her sit down so that the dress came over the back of the chair because it was that big.
Oh, my God.
So she's still in this formal, huge dress. The groom goes in there, strips down to his wife beater. Which is appropriately named in this group.
Yeah.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with colloquial terms.
I see Jimmy getting ideas for the next Debris Sister skit at Louis.
Please, we don't want him passing out again, almost passing out in a costume again.
The one woman, she had fiber optics added into it, so when it came time for her dance, they turned off the lights, her dress glowed, it had animatronic butterflies floating on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're kidding me!
And it's not just the weddings. The First Holy Communion dresses these girls wear are just smaller versions of this.
My goodness.
Disney hits the trailer court.
Yeah. More or less. It's like every drag queen in Houston exploded all at once. I mean, all over the wedding.
The easy way to describe how this would look is if you've seen those Barbie cakes where they take a Bundt cake and stick a Barbie doll in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Basically, that's increase the size of that proportionally, and that's what you
pretty much.
Wow.
You have. And it's one of those shows you watch and it's like, oh my God.
As my friend Joan would put it, they take 5 steps and the dress finally moves with them.
It's like, yeah. So that was a guilty pleasure watching of that stuff there.
Oh my God.
How did we go from
Frel if I know?
I don't know.
All right.
I took us there, but I don't know how we got there.
I know.
We got there.
Yeah, we're on religion talk.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
We do have some religion
talk. We have a hypocrisy story, don't we?
We do, but we also have a couple of religious stories.
Now,
once I get back to the computer,
okay,
we got a follow-up on a religious story, and then...
Oh.
Actually, I think I got 3. Yeah, I got 3 religious stories.
Wow.
Yeah. He hit the mother load.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's been hitting those church bulletin boards again.
Yeah. But there's no Joe, my God.
Not the same way that Masturbate has.
Some of them are hitting their...
I just love that.
Some people just hit the church bulletin boards with their forehead as they're getting...
Now, my only question is, and I'll probably have to have this answered off air, is who was in that conversation that y'all had earlier?
Oh.
None of your business.
He said the name.
That will remain anonymous.
Only one name.
Yeah, there was only one name in there, and I didn't quite catch the name.
That's okay.
We'll tell you later.
We'll tell you later.
We'll pat you on the head now and tell you they're there.
Nice. Well, again, I was stuck in here, so I didn't. Yeah. So I have no idea.
Okay, let's see in our religious stories. Here we got a... we talked several months ago about Bishop Eddie Long.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Of Irvine, Atlanta.
Are we still talking about him?
Oh, well... What did he do?
He was accused of... sexual coercion of 4 young men in his flock.
Oh.
Who,
he was trying to get at the sheep? Anyway.
He paid out $15 million in hush money to these 4 men.
Are you kidding me?
No.
$15 million?
Yeah.
Well, then how did it get out?
Well, because it was already out beforehand.
Oh.
So basically, the police were investigating it. And they
Boy,
did
he paid
settlement.
A lot of money for nothing, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the follow-up to it. This is from Queerty mm-hmm. by way of, or actually it's from Black Media Scoop by way of Queerty.
Okay.
The latest bombshell has hit home. They've learned that Bishop Eddie Long's wife, Vanessa, allegedly packed up her bags and moved out of the $1.5 million home.
Ooh.
Long
she
married,
must have been pissed.
Married Vanessa Griffin in 1990. She worked on the board of directors for Faith Academy, and she headed many ministries, mostly those dealing with women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
They have three children together. They've also learned that allegedly she took one of the children to stay at an undisclosed family member's home.
Oh, must have been a boy.
Their source, all three of them were boys.
Oh.
Well.
Well, hold on. The one name could be a girl. Oh. Taylor.
Yeah, you never know.
Our source says Vanessa allegedly tried to stick by Long until the sex scandal drama was over, and then she'd leave. This is Long's second go-around at the Chapel of Love. He married Debara Houston in 1981, and they had one son together there.
Hmm.
The statement from the church said, in this new digital world, along with a steep decline in quality reporting, many people can't discern the difference between legitimate journalists and irresponsible bloggers. Recently, some blog entries have surfaced claiming that anonymous sources saying that New Birth First Lady Elder Vanessa Long has left her husband. That claim is complete and absolutely false. Mrs. Long is very much a loving, dedicated, committed wife and mother. It is unfortunate that anyone would make such hateful and damaging false claims of this nature. These cruel and insensitive rumors have the potential to cause immeasurable pain and suffering. Those involved should feel obligated to retract the earlier statement.
How much did they have to pay her to move back in?
Ryan.
Queerty.com. We report, you decide, and...
FCC!
Something.
Yeah.
I wonder how they drug that one princess, that future princess, back to that king or whatever he was that just got married.
Prince. Is that prince?
Yeah. I mean, she was crying at the wedding, but I have a feeling it had nothing to do with...
Well, she was upset because they met because they were doing the same guy.
Oh.
There have been plenty of rumors about Prince Albert being in the can with another guy.
Uh-huh.
Was he tap dancing in the bathroom again?
Not as cute as he used to be. That's just what I'm saying.
No.
Prince Albert, huh?
Prince Albert of Monaco.
Yes.
Grace Kelly's son.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Prince Albert.
Yep.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes, it was
I wonder if he has one.
Finally, somebody catches it.
He might have had one somewhere. that he.
I went for the other Prince Albert joke.
Yeah. The much older Prince Albert.
The FBI invited Westboro Baptist Church to train its police officers and agents.
What?
Oh, dear God.
The FBI invited Westboro Baptist Church and two of its facilities to help train agents and police officers, reports the NPR.
Is this from The Onion?
No.
Oh. No.
This is Tola wrote, and thanks for their quoting, but here's the thing. The FBI recently invited leaders of the fundamentalist group to the Quantico Marine Base in Virginia to talk to FBI agents as part of the Bureau's counterterrorism training program. But after four sessions this spring, the FBI canceled the arrangement amid criticism from inside the Bureau.
Yeah, I bet.
While the church leaders claimed they had been misled. Apparently, officers needed training on what kind of hate the WBC inspires.
Oh.
He said the program was designed to teach young agents how to stay measured when they are speaking with a witness or a suspect with whom they have a strong, visceral disagreement. Timothy Phelps conceded that strong, visceral disagreement is one of the emotions Westboro inspires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he found in the classrooms he visited. Officials say there were about 50 local law enforcement officers and agents in each session. And they say Westboro wasn't paid for its participation. Phelps confirmed that no money exchanged hands. Phelps says he had no idea he was part of a, quote, domestic terrorism curriculum, unquote. Law enforcement officials attended the session, said it was focused on domestic terrorism. They were told that the FBI invited Westboro members to the class so police officers and agents could see an extremist up close and understand what makes them tick.
I can think of something that... I could think of something that would make the Reverend Phelps tick.
Yeah, it sounds like they were ticked off.
No.
Pack of dynamite strapped to his chest.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Ticked nicely. Anyhow.
The Tolaroid article has a picture of a couple of the protesters, and I think that's Isaiah they have on there. Isaiah.
Must be cute.
You know,
isn't he getting a bit old for you now?
Yeah, he's probably like 22, 23.
Now, has anybody taken a good look at Fred? Well, the man's got to die soon, doesn't he?
Oh.
The Reverend.
He's been dead for 10 years, hasn't he?
Between the ears.
Somebody needs to tell him to lie down, because,
Our last preacher story.
Already?
I have three of them.
Got three. We're into
two. The third one. I got other stories.
Okay.
I must start off by saying Queerty Commentary. The article on this is, would you press charges if a hate pastor grabbed and kissed you? Because a hate pastor is pressing charges against and here's the article, it says she's a lesbian.
Okay.
I read other articles where she has a husband, so I'm not sure if it's lesbian. Because a hate pastor is pressing charges against a lesbian who grabbed and kissed him during a North Carolina Pride event. 74-year-old Jane Parker claims she saw New Light Baptist Church preacher James Edward Belcher waving his arms with a Bible in one hand, screaming, "Sodomites, you're going to hell," at the top of his lungs.
Uh-huh.
"I thought he needed a hug," Parker said, "so I gave him a hug. While hugging him, he turned his head away and she kissed him on the cheek."
How sweet.
Belcher said, she ran her arms all the way around me and pulled me towards her. If I hadn't turned my head, I would have gotten it right on the mouth. She might disagree with this, but it wasn't done as a show of affection. It was unwanted touching. No. Stranger danger! Bad touch! not my permission!
You're supposed to do that part as Elmo.
Yeah.
So now Belcher has pressed simple assault charges, adding that the kiss was, quote, was just one of many attempts to silence the preaching of those in need of salvation who practice a death style they call a lifestyle, unquote.
Gee whiz.
God, what an idiot.
So let's forget
life already.
So let's forget the fact that Parker is old enough to be a grandmother and consider this. How many of you would feel repulsed if a hate pastor like Fred Phelps came up and grabbed you and kissed you, especially if it was during a hate rally? Would you be okay with it? Would you press charges? What about personal space and sexual assault?
I would kiss him back and make sure somebody took pictures.
Is it the fact that, does the fact that she's 74 and a lesbian change anything? Should it? What if the roles are reversed? What taste does it leave in your mouth? Geritol.
Oh!
No, Metamucil. Or Polydent.
Holy paste.
I'm just no.
You don't want to go there?
No.
I just can't. I'm sorry. I would rather kiss Boris Karloff as the mummy than lay my lips on the Reverend Phelps. Well, or any other hate preacher.
There really isn't much difference between a mummy and Fred Phelps, though.
True.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
They're both antiquities covered in dust.
Wow.
Boy.
Wow. Just,
bit of hypocrisy.
That just makes my head hurt.
The bit of hypocrisy that we're talking about here is, Chris Cockblocker Hansen.
Cockblocker?
Well, yeah, I mean, Chris was dying to meet him.
He got busted by the National Enquirer, of all great bastions of journalism.
Wow, that is just like, you know.
Well, you're right up there with the good stuff this time, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm using a different source. I've used just some of these before here, but I kind of like his commentary on here. This is from Kenneth in the 212.com. It's a New Yorker.
Obviously. Mm-hmm.
Although I watched...
Again, you found real quality here.
Could have gone with the Queerty one, but I'm afraid to say it. Although I watched To Catch a Predator on Dateline NBC with the same fascination that most people do, I'll be right out. I spilled some milk on my sweater. Have a cookie while I change. I've long had a fundamental problem with this show, which I've always felt lured, often weak people, into doing something they likely would not have done otherwise. But then didn't even lure them into committing an actual crime, which is what entrapment really means. There's no victim when the so-called pervert chats about sex with a 51-year-old undercover cop. Technically, they're not even undercover cops. These are private citizens doing this. There isn't even a victim when a so-called pervert drives to the fake house of a 51-year-old undercover. The truth is, at this point, who hasn't done or said anything online that took an element of fantasy? Do we even really think of those hot-of-age guy that we're chatting with online, who also happens to be a closeted fireman, is real much less hot-trot high school sophomore who's dying to have sex with an older guy who says he's got wine coolers? Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, wine coolers is supposedly what Levi used on Bristol. It's dangerous stuff.
Oh.
People actually still drink those?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Come on, it is Bristol Palin.
Yeah. Oh.
I think they were more for him than her, but
yeah. Everything online is fake until proven otherwise. And I understand that legislators thought they were doing some good by passing tough laws against online predators. Parents understandably freaked out when they realized the scary internet allowed strangers, including sickos who look at child pornography, to come into their homes and mess with their children. But you know, these reactionary laws create penalties for crimes like this that are, pardon the pun, far stiffer than the people who actually molest children. Chris Hansen has been the big force on this.
Oh, yeah.
So it gives me a Schadenfreude and stiffy to see smug host Chris Hansen, you know, the married one with two sons, was caught in a hidden camera sting by the National Enquirer doing something probably illegal, having an adulterous affair with a woman 20 years his junior.
What?
I hope somebody walked up to him with a piece of paper folded in their hand as the cameras rolled and said, "Sit down. So what did you think was going to happen here today?"
Wow.
Putting that into perspective, 20 years his junior is still well over the legal age. Well, however, it's still a bad idea.
She is the woman he was caught allegedly fooling around with is 30 years old. Mm-hmm. The way the National Enquirer has it on their world-exclusive hitting newsstands, investigative star Chris Hansen, best known for exposing internet sex perverts to a catch a predator, has been caught in his own cheating scandal with a sexy blonde young enough to be his daughter. For nearly 4 months, sources say the handsome father of two has been cheating on his wife with Crystal Caden, a news anchor at NBC affiliate in West Palm Beach. Hansen and his wife live together in Connecticut and have two sons, but that didn't stop the catch a predator star from being caught in his own web of deceit, sources say.
So wow. It's karma's a bitch, isn't it?
It's not illegal. It's just incredibly stupid.
Well, it depends. There are some places where I think adultery is still considered illegal.
The Commonwealth of Virginia.
So that could be something that could be explored. It's just, you know.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah.
How tasty.
Yeah, if they keep going on with that, it's like, you know, I like to see one of the quote-unquote predators go, "Oh, okay. I didn't do anything. You want anything you want to confess here, Chris?"
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Hansen? Yeah. Let's go to this videotape. Let's see.
I just happen to have a set of photos here.
Now, you know, the explanation is no good unless it starts with, "You see what had happened was."
I think
it's just you in this crab position in this picture.
Wait a minute, is that in the Kama Sutra?
Did you take this out of the Kama Sutra as you hold the picture up to?
I think worst case scenario, the wife.
Wait, you're holding it upside down.
Wife needs to drag his ass on to Dr. Phil and go, "Well, why don't you have a seat over here?" And just being in the presence of Dr. Phil should be punishment enough.
Absolutely.
And when she says that, she has to have the folded sheet of paper.
Right?
God.
Here's a
an
interesting quote from a politician, a prime minister. An address he made to transgendered people. "You are adamant that you are a special gender. That is why some of you have spent considerable money on special operations. Every year you all look very different. Blonde hair, glossy lipstick, sporting Gucci handbags, and us men continue to be taken in by your looks. It is only your thick, muscular calves and calves, bulked up after years of playing rugby, that give you away. But it's not your will that you are the way you are. You are just another shining example of the glorious miracles and creations of our Lord. I applaud you on your charity work in our communities, and may you continue to pursue it.
I also applaud you on your pursuit of human rights, and I encourage you to be vocal on any issue that touches, encroaches on your rights. That is Samoan Prime Minister... I'm not even going to try. Tuliepe Salaya Melagoa?
Good night. Yeah.
Anyhow. Speaking to Fafafain...
they have a shop for that.
Is there an app for that?
Biological males who have a strong feminine gender...
No.
in Samoan culture. So an interesting... Wow. Thing there, yeah. They
you know, that started off going downhill and worked its way up slowly. Yeah.
It would have helped, very slowly. It would have helped probably if I told you the QWERTY headline for that is Samoan MP PM trans people rock the Casbah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Alrighty. All right. Okay then.
Speaking of politician wannabes.
Oh, I heard this story, and this guy is a total
tool
donkey.
Michelle Bachmann's husband,
oh Jesus,
the man who was crazy enough to marry Crazy Eyes, is a former ex-gay reparative therapist, the husband of Tea Party presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann, who compares homosexualities to barbarians in need of education and discipline.
She's one to talk.
Mm,
this
sane,
is he.
Oh, well, he's one to talk, but still. Yeah.
In a sane and irrational world, this would be hands down mean the end of Michelle Bachmann's run for the presidency. I mean, are we seriously going to allow a man who absolutely detests and vilifies a significant percentage of the American population? Unfortunately, it seems like Bachmann's fans are slipping the same homophobic Kool-Aid and will be unfazed, even more, maybe even more entrenched in their support of her after this. Although she has kind of... Stop talking about gays about this because, you know, you bring it up and people are going to say, oh, yeah, and your husband.
And your husband.
Yeah. Yes.
Who received money from the federal government to run his clinic to convert gay people.
Wow.
Because that works out so well.
Yeah, and so now he's hiding suspicious. On the farm that they get subsidies to help take care of.
Well.
The interesting part about
it. In other words, he sucked money from the government one way and then turned around and did it another way.
Oh, here's the actual quote, so I don't have to play this. First of all, it was something he said on a radio show, and you know what kind of people you have showing up on radio shows.
Yeah,
look what's sitting next to me.
And
I feel your pain.
So they only had a transcript before, and then somebody dug around and found the archive. So this is Marcus Bachmann. We have to understand barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. Just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean we are supposed to go down that road.
Disciplined. Is she intestinal, too?
Anyhow. This is what's called... that's what is called the sinful nature. We have a responsibility as parents and authority figures not to encourage such thoughts and feelings from moving into actual steps. And let's face it, what is our culture? What is our public education system doing today? They're giving full, wide-open doors to children, not only giving encouragement to think it, but encourage action steps. That's why when we understand what is truly the percentage of homosexuals in this country, it is small. But by these open doors, I can see we're experiencing it is starting to increase. Mm. Dr. Bachmann, if you leave the white bread state of Minnesota, you'll notice that actually white heterosexuals are starting to become the minority.
Really?
Yeah. You might notice it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's less and less, so...
I don't... Has she heard the statistics on the number of Hispanics in the country as opposed to white folks?
She does. That's why she talks in the Tea Party if we need to shut off our borders. Mm. They're coming across.
You know, they're coming across. They've been here.
Right?
Well, and the better part of 50 years, they've been piling across that bar.
But. Yeah, and some of that story is going to change after what's happening in Georgia right now with the immigration debate. They passed some really strong immigration laws there, and it had the effect that they wanted to. It basically drove a lot of potentially or possibly illegal immigrants out of the state of Georgia.
So who's going to mow the lawn now?
Well, it's even worse. The farmers are going, I've got no one to pick our peaches and all our other crops. We've got millions of dollars of produce dying on the vine because we've got no one here to pick it because you guys passed this little law. It's like, oops.
Well, they screwed up.
Yeah.
go big out time. There and find somebody that doesn't have a job right now.
And actually, like the one commentary I saw on that is send the legislature out there to pick the produce.
There you go.
There's a lot of people without jobs.
God
right
knows they need a productive job. They need to do something productive.
Instead of being in the back pocket of the special interests.
Mm. This is kind of a follow-up here. We talked about porn star Mason Wyler.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think he's from the Houston area here.
Yeah, I think so.
He was attempting to make a comeback after he announced that he was had developed
HIV.
Mm. Yeah, I was just trying to see if it was HIV or you know, full-blown AIDS. But he's now positive. Oh, there it is. Positive. So he's made an announcement now on his, I guess, a blog. Yeah, his blog. This is a clarification for those of you who want to make me... This is a clarification for those of you who want me to make a triple X resurgence under the glare of a professional camera. Mason Wyler, the porn performer, is dead. I tried my best to resuscitate what was once a thriving and vibrant career, but it simply isn't happening. I've contacted every erotic studio you can think of, and I haven't had any response. No one is interested in casting me anymore, and I don't have the know-how, capital, or drive to start my own studio. I've officially flatlined for much too long to ever come back. It's time I face the fact that my porno-making days are over and move forward. The QWERTY commentary starts now with Mason Wyler writes his own certificate of death on his blog. Wyler created controversy last year when he revealed he was positive, and apparently his career has suffered. What do you think? Too much of a pity party, or should the porn industry do more to support the performers it once banked on? Now, if I remember correctly, he didn't. His converting did not occur on the job, per se.
Okay.
But seldom does. I mean, for a lot of these guys, the film work is an advertisement for their escort service.
Yeah. Well, between escort and performance, you know, special performances, they'll show up at this club. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I find it interesting that he that he knows that he was that. It wasn't on the job.
I'm not 100% sure on that. Yeah. I will hold on.
I've heard that before, though. He said that it wasn't. And I'm sitting there going, "How do you know that?"
Because maybe all of his films were safe sex,
right?
I don't know much about him, but
I don't know anything about
but
him.
But it certainly, except for the fact that I have a friend who actually knew him.
Oh. Hmm. Knew him?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they talk much anymore, but they did.
I see him.
They cross paths on the internet once in a while.
Mm.
They have conversations. Yeah.
I'm not...
And this dear, sweet, particular friend of mine is somebody I used to give all kinds of...
Hell to?
Hell to. Mm-hmm. About unsafe sex.
I see.
On the official announcement...
There's been so many.
Seven levels of Romulan hell I have given him over the years.
That's a lot.
On the subject of doing it with people...
That's quite a bit. Yes.
Unsafely.
Indeed. Okay.
I mean, the only thing it has there on his blog when he actually made the announcement was, I have only myself to blame. I have HIV and it kind of sucks.
Mm.
Welcome to our world. Huh?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least he isn't, you know, like John Holmes who...
kept going.
And he kept going after he'd been diagnosed.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is now there is the...
Well, they get tested.
The testing,
yes. Yeah. There's a lot more measures in place.
Well, you get tested. The film industry does testing.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there was that, you know, especially that where the, I think after this incident occurred, where we had the reports of the one person who had tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
And every performer that they were with, recently, and that were also sequestered and unable to perform until basically a six-month period that they felt where the virus would have shown itself.
Wow.
I cannot help but wonder with the resurgence of bareback movies, though.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those, and we can talk about the testing all we want. I really do wonder how many of those performers already know they're positive when they go into those movies.
I don't know. And a lot of the barebacking is done by kind of the lesser studios.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
Not just that, but also you're seeing a lot more of that in foreign studios.
Yes. Ooh,
where yes. They're not going to be really part of the... the same industry requirement where you've got basically a lot of gay for pay in Czech Republic and Russia. So there is a possibility of that where they may not have a strong of testing of that. Still haven't done an update on the story about California OSHA wanting to require the condoms because of it being an unsafe.
We make a very big deal out of over the years, we've made a very big deal out of how you can't always tell that somebody is positive by looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
However, those of us who have had this for an extended period of time,
after a while,
we often can look at each other and we see the changes in ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So we tend to clue in on physical appearances of other people who might have been positive for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and see subtle things that other people might not notice and go, yeah, because I look at some of those bareback movies and I see physical features in some of those men that I do not attribute to the fact that they're over 40. You know?
That
you and Jimmy and I have discussed various physical things
facial wasting,
things that, you know, it's just, I see certain things in some of the faces of some of those actors and I can't help but think, how many of these people, how many of these movies are being made by people who already know they're positive and the people they're with are positive? So it's not, so they're kind of, nobody, it's the untalked about but everybody knows thing in the room.
Yeah.
So they don't feel so freaked out by the idea of doing bareback, you know, because they already know. They already know. They already have that conversation.
Yeah.
It's just a thought because I watch these things and I see, and I can't help but see certain things that
I don't. You know. Yeah, I wouldn't say that any increase in HIV/AIDS in youth is going to be from watching bareback movies. I think it's going to be more of people hearing the fact that, you know, the vaccine is around the corner. We've got all these great drugs that turns basically to some people's idea, HIV now is no longer a death sentence. It's diabetes.
Yeah.
You take your pills, you watch what you do, it's manageable.
Yeah, that's a lovely...
Let me walk into a room naked and show these people.
What it does to your body.
Yeah,
but I think that's where some of this is coming from. Is that that 10 years ago it was still not as great of a death sentence, but it was still considered a very deadly disease. And the fact that we have long term survivors,
mm-hmm.
two cases in point there in the other room.
Yeah.
And the fact that we keep hearing, you know, this sunshine and lollipops
and
coming out.
Sunshine and Santa Claus and lollipops.
That, right. The vaccine's around the corner, the cure is around the corner.
And I'm sick of it.
Oh, boy, me too.
You take take these pills and you'll be fine. They don't tell you that it's 20 pills a day.
And you can be gorgeous and climb mountains, yes.
You know, it's that thing from the flirtations thing where they talk about, where they each talk about something that's gone on in their lives, that mm-hmm. one piece, and one of them says, and one of us has been positive for some, and he's tired of it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know... Yeah, great. I'm sorry, but I go to a support group as often as I can,
mm-hmm.
and there's still, and it may not be happening in the five and six people anymore a week,
But it still happens. We still go to funerals.
Yes.
You know? It's not happening at the rate it was. You know, there aren't three pages of obits and you all know how they all died.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're still
but
dying.
But they're still dying.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. Sorry. Just a
no, it's true. But it's true.
I mean,
it's so prevalent.
So you tell me about manageable and all of that, and I'm like,
come here, let me slap you real hard.
Let me tell you about manageable. Spend a day in either one of the two of our lives.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about manageable. Mm-hmm. See if you want to live with some of the stuff we go through.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah. What next?
All right, another story about movies. Yeah, we mentioned
double soapbox there.
Yeah.
I mentioned this movie before because some people were upset with it, and I never thought we'd get a chance to see it, but I'm just giving a heads up to people that you can watch Ticked Off Trannies with Knives.
I never heard of this movie.
Oh, wow.
Is playing now on Showtime.
Showtime?
Showtime?
Yeah.
I bet 3 in the morning.
They usually show softcore on there late at night.
I
know that much. Yeah, that
well, last night it was on at 12:30.
See,
I can't get the damn thing to scroll up.
It just doesn't want to work for you. Ticked Off Trannies with Knives.
That just
it's
is this a trauma production? Is this like
no.
Toxic Avenger Kabuki
Cop? Is that film?
No, but the poster is kind of scary.
Oh.
I'm no doubt. Really? No doubt.
Basically, it's kind of a spoof. It's in the genre of the exploitation films of the 70s and the blaxploitation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where
trauma productions.
There it goes.
A group of vengeful trannies learn martial arts and seek bone-crushing revenge on the dim-witted thugs that assaulted one of their own in this violent, gleefully trashy homage to 70s exploitation flicks starring Crystal Summers, William Belli, and Erica Andrews.
Erica Andrews?
Oh, my God.
Are you familiar with that name?
Oh, yeah. She's a Texas girl.
If it's the same Erica Andrews, then, yeah, she used to be a Texas performer.
Yes.
Now, yes, the performances of this show, this movie are on later night. Next time it's on is Wednesday at 2:25 a.m. on Show Next.
I see her career's gone up.
Oh, well, yes.
But yeah,
where I'm not saying.
Well, she's not doing training porn, so
oh.
I guess that's good.
She's not. On
They've already
stage.
Cut off the ones that have
she's
already
not
happened.
Singing on stage anymore?
Yeah. So your next one is
actually next one's on Thursday at 9 p.m. on Show Next.
10 p.m.
Show Next.
That's
Eastern. Eastern. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, we're in the central central time zone.
Yeah. Let's see.
And I worry when I see the same trannies who used to do performances
also
on
available
stage
on DVD
on the back streets of Montrose. This, now.
Wow, this is amazing. You can get a movie called Ticked Off Trannies here from Target, which is kind of homophobe.
Wow.
Well, why not? You used to be able to buy hardcore porn at Sears until they screwed that up.
Now, they've got a lot of coverage on this movie. The BBC's done stories on this. The Dallas Observer, Daily Variety, Head of Lettuce.
The Village Voice.
The Village Voice.
IndieWire.
Queerty. Here's the one we talked about before.
Head
of Lettuce.
Sounds like a drag queen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Head of Lettuce is one who went on the People's Court one time. To,
Was she get a bad wig or something?
Something about the modern... With the Italian woman who's the judge now?
No, she's Cuban. This was back, okay. I think, with
Lautner,
Judge Judy's husband.
Okay.
It was something about a design that went wrong, and let's see here. Israel Luna's
paid to see that
episode. Transploitation film Tricked Off Trannies with Knives is now the target of a GLAAD campaign to get the film pulled from the Tribeca Film Festival because, quote, its title and marketing misrepresent the lives of transgendered women and use grotesque exploitive depictions of violence against transgendered women in ways that make it light of the horrific brutality they often face.
But I think in order to raise awareness, you almost have to make light of their situation. You almost have to blow it out of proportion to make people understand what their plight is. We discussed this once before about another film where they, in a roundabout way, it was a positive portrayal of transgender people.
Yeah. Well, the one thing they have on this QWERTY thing about the eight things they talk about of why is Tribeca already decided to run the film no matter what. The GLAAD campaign against the movie has helped guarantee its success.
Of course.
Yes. GLAAD has proved itself to be a poor arbiter of taste. The movie could urge the trans community to support a trans director to tell their story. However, films for us, by us, won't solve all the problems of trans representation. The movie is a revenge fantasy, not a realistic portrayal of trans violence.
There you go. Mm.
It brings issues about trans violence and representation into the mainstream.
It's
and
about time.
The entire trans community wasn't against the film. And there are some problems. There's, you know, using the term trannies because it's considered along the words, you know, along the same lines as the F word or the N word. That there, but
yeah, well, Curse of the Queer Wolf wasn't an authentic portrayal of queer furries either, but that's
but, Curse of the Queer Wolf.
I'm not kidding.
Oh boy, I'm gonna have to check that one out, I guess.
It's a real movie.
Wow,
so. Remember those Trauma productions I was talking about?
Trauma,
yeah. T-R-O-M-A.
Trauma.
I mean,
if you're going to check out a trauma film, I highly recommend Killer Condom.
Killer Condom. Yep. There you go.
Put that on your Netflix list. A German movie set in New York.
Lost his mind.
I got to add some more. It's a French detective speaking German in New York City. Who is works the seedy side of town, and he's discovering all these murders at our hotels of hustlers who are dying, having their genitals removed, and has to investigate why.
And let me guess, it's a used condom?
It's worse. It's a killer condom. You have to see this movie to believe it. And
Wes is trying to wrap his head around this
it's
one.
Got
the greatest part about it is when he sends this homophobic, naive police officer to go investigate at a gay bar, and he puts a yellow hanky in his pocket. And he came back yelling at him, because, why'd you do that? They pissed on me. And I said, well, be thankful I didn't put a red hanky. And he goes, what does that mean? It just takes a, you know, does a fist pump in the air.
Or a brown hanky, for that matter.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with the hanky code, the red hanky means one pocket you're Kermit the Frog, the other hand your other pocket you're Jim Henson.
that's the best.
Killer condom.
Best explanation I've heard yet. Hi, I'm Kermit the Frog.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have started the show with a Kermit the Frog joke and ending it with a Kermit the Frog joke.
Oh, my.
God bless Sesame Street.
He bookended it.
Today's show has been brought to you by the letters FCC. And as long as they don't hear about it, we'll be back next week. We will have leather ties, and the rest of the insanity we have on here. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale, followed by the Red Eye Special. All the other programs you want to find out here on KPFT are what's on the high definition channels 2 and 3. Go over to kpft.org, find a listing there of our program guides. If you want to get in contact with us, there are several ways you can. We love hearing from our listeners. You can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is after hours. It's the wrong order. Facebook, you can find us after hours. Snail mail is after hours, care of KPFT 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT, LOVETT.
Houston, Texas 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
I feel like I'm going to sneeze, and I'm trying to
get it out now.
We love hearing your upcoming events. Love mail, hate mail.
Dirty
And those are the ways you can get in touch with us. Like I said, we go through our Facebook pages and give you information on there. Once again, this is Zydeco Apostolates at the top of the hour, followed by Red Eye Special. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Here are your PSAs.
Whales, enormous, mysterious, ancient mammals of the sea. They have lived in the world's oceans long before humans existed. We are awed by them, and we have worked to protect them. But now whales, dolphins, and other marine life are faced with a new and deadly threat. Our U.S. Navy is about to deploy an outdated and unnecessary sonar system called low-frequency active sonar. LFA is an underwater sonic bomb which blasts through hundreds of miles of ocean, a sound so loud that it can kill and maim whales and other sea animals. Many scientists predict that LFA could be disastrous for sea life. Join our urgent campaign to stop the Navy from using this lethal underwater weapon. Contact us now at SeaFlow, that's SEAFLOW, on the web at seaflow.org, or phone 415-454-4443. That's seaflow.org or phone 415-454-4443.
Tune in to 90.1 weekdays at 6 p.m. for some of Houston's best arts, news, and talk. On Monday, join Ira Glass for unique stories and insight on This American Life. Tuesdays, Dr. Michio Kaku joins us from our sister station, WBAI, for science, politics, and the environment on Explorations. On Wednesdays at 6, tune into national and international coverage on Uprising. It comes to you from our sister station, KPFK. On Thursdays, check out great speakers and more with David Barsamian on Alternative Radio. Fridays at 6, catch If You Love This Planet with Dr. Helen Caldicott. It's part of our new evening lineup featuring programming from across the Pacifica Network and beyond. So tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Mm-hmm.